Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net. Just been sitting here and watching the last Saturday night Navy Pier fireworks display for 24.
You can almost hear them.
Welcome to our last show of 2024. And it works better if you turn your mic on.
See, last week you were manning the microphone, yes. And I got spoiled. I was used to you taking care of everything for me except for the words. No, I posted our pictures on our trip into the station, and I said, pictures en route to WGN Radio for the last time. .. in 2024. Hi, Ron Brown.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You have a good Christmas?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, you were here, weren't you?
It was wonderful. No, I had, Christmas Eve off.
Oh, good.
I had Christmas Day off, and I had the day after off. So.
Are you going to be the guy here for New Year's Eve?
I have New Year's Eve off.
Wow.
So
you know people.
I got lucky this year.
Yeah, that's good. I'm happy for you. We're kind of celebrating New Year's Eve tonight because we are talking to our regular guest tonight, and we have a little surprise coming up this hour.
Yes, we always talk about doing radio drive-bys, and we have a real live radio drive-by.
A real one, yes.
That's going to happen momentarily.
All right.
A little later tonight, Patrick Crispin will join us in studio. And yes, Joseph is joining him.
Yes, his fan base wants to know if they will at least hear from him. And he agreed. He had words to say. Not many, but he had a few words to say. You know, at 8, you got to play with whatever their mood is.
He's preparing his end-of-the-year address, even
That's
as we
right.
speak.
I think the extent of it at this point is Happy New Year. I think that's it.
That works.
We worked on it this afternoon.
And a little later tonight, we'll have Tom Appel joining us for his final visit, not his final visit with us, but his final visit for 2024.
Yep. And he's going to talk about some of the best from 2024 and some of the things to look forward to in 2025 in the automotive world. And since Patrick is in-house, we are going to put him to work, too. And we're going to catch up on some of the things that, sadly, we talked about on a regular basis throughout the year. And that topic is...
Like the year 2024, the year in hacking.
Yes. Yes. In fact, we got a letter today from yet another case of... And this was a doctor's office writing to say, we're very sorry, but it appears that...
I brought the letter in. Yeah. We will share a part of the letter there are a lot of people who may have records at this same place.
Yeah, yeah, very true. But it, in fact, is the year of the hacking of, well, you name it, just about everything. So Patrick will touch on that as well as answering some tech questions, because that's what he does for us twice a month here on WGN.
And the normal keeple? See, I'm running out of all. It's the end of the year. All of the good words have been used.
Yeah. Create new ones. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, so make them up, yes.
Keeple, that would be kids who are people, is that right?
That's good.
Okay.
Could be.
Or keeper of the big plug.
Okay.
Bob Fukuda is not here this week. Adam Phillips is in residence tonight. And Adam is keeping his distance because he had a little cold, so he's keeping his distance.
Yep. Oh, we're also going to find some time to squeeze in some conversation about New Year's Eve superstitions and foods for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Ron, do you have any superstitions related to New Year's Eve, things that you have to do?
No. I'm not a superstitious person all year round, so I don't think I should change it on New Year's Eve.
Well, then I make up for you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got a lot of them.
I think it might be a Southern thing, but we are very specific about, you know, you have to eat ham because a pig roots forward. You don't eat chicken because a chicken scratches backwards and you want to look forward into the new year. And you have to eat turnip greens and black-eyed peas, and we'll talk about all that good stuff. And cornbread because it's gold.
Oh, okay. I never heard that one, but I like it.
You're on board with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, that works. And we also have some special guests on the other side of the glass. Julian brought in his family.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They were in town checking out the lights, and they popped in and said hello.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And I don't see them. Did we scare them away?
No. They're very much like, oh, you got to work. We're going.
I honestly thought
I thought they were going to be hanging out with us for part of the show.
I thought so, too.
I thought your dad was your brother. I really did. He's a kid.
That's the running joke in the family. He's the fourth brother.
Nice family. I'm happy they stopped by to see where you were because that's the first time they were here, right?
Tell them next time they come, they have to stay for the show.
Well, maybe they're afraid we would put them to work. So we're leaving.
They read the small print.
Yes.
They were intimidated. They go, are those your bosses? Are they going to get mad that we're here?
And you laughed, right?
I hope you did.
Good. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and...
introduce you to a surprise special guest. Actually, two surprise special guests.
Yes.
A real-life drive-by. So that's coming up at WGN. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, in honor of the fireworks for New Year's Eve, that's a little bit of B.B. King, but also in honor of the fireworks, Johnny's monitor is flashing on and off and doing its own little dance.
So if I have a seizure, it's because this big monitor is right in my face and it goes black and bright and black and bright. And anyway, there's always something, right?
But we promised you a special drive-by guest or two.
Yes.
And... joining us in the studio, Muriel Anderson, is you're on your way to Nashville and decided to stop by and hang out with us.
Sure, why not?
This is a real live drive-by. We joke about that sometimes. We say, yeah, somebody just stopped by, and we heard from Muriel. This was late this afternoon, and we said, yeah. I said, are you kidding me? Yeah, get yourself down here. And I did not expect you to bring a guitar with you.
Well, you know, where I come, the harp guitar comes with me.
Yeah.
But this, you brought a new harp guitar.
Yes, this one was made by Mike Britton in Florida, and it's a travel harp guitar. It's actually even smaller than my other one, so it fits very easily in the compact overhead bins.
Really?
And what is it made of? Because yeah, it looks like a different kind of wood.
Yeah, it's a painted wood. He gave it this kind of orange sheen to it, so it has really an unusual look to it.
I'll put a picture of it up, because it really almost what's the name of the wood? It escapes me right now, but it looks like a piece of furniture. The
like
wood does.
Mahogany.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. That other male voice.
Yes.
Is the voice of Brian Allen, photographer, graphic artist, and Captain Brian.
Captain Brian, yeah.
Wearing the coolest. I hope you got a picture of.
I will.
I'm wearing a top hat. We went to a Victorian themed party in Savannah, and so I wore this.
Uh huh.
And if you've been to Muriel's concerts, Brian is the one who does the wonderful graphic displays that you see behind Muriel. How many years have you two been joining up to do that?
Roughly 10 years.
10 years, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
It but is who's so counting, cool. right?
Pretty much since we started hanging out together.
And that, I'm not saying this just because you two are in the studio with us, but we've been to a number of concerts where there will be some kind of display going on, whoever the performer is, and it's like, oh, okay, that's a display. But the difference is, on your concerts, it really adds to whatever it is you're performing.
Well, it's what brought us together in the first place. I saw the optimism in his artwork, his photo art, and his pastels that he does. And he heard the optimism in my music, and that was kind of the beginning. So he said, well, let's take these and put them together in our show so that he does more than just carry my guitar case.
And drive the car, drive-by car.
And in fact, the blatant plug light just started flashing, and I want to go for a blatant plug, and I hope it's still going. What is the deal? You were making some of your graphic art available for people who wanted to purchase it and use it for screensavers.
Oh, yeah.
Is that still going on?
Yes, it is. We just opened up Brian's page on my website. So if you go to my shop page, you can go to Brian's page, and you can pick up some of his cool artwork and all sorts of innovative different ways.
Well, you must tell the story of the Lightning Catchers poster that you made available.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable. It is magical. So this guy's holding fruit jars, and they have lightning bugs in them, but they look like they're going to fly off the page.
Yeah. It was an early Photoshop photograph,
and it's amazing.
It's supposed to look like an old couple out in the field harvesting lightning.
Yeah,
and she's gathering the lightning, and he's picking up these jars that are bristling with electricity.
And see, you need to write the story about that, of this old couple who harvests lightning.
About it, actually,
you should do that.
Yeah,
storyline.
And that guy in the poster, Brian actually knew, and he was into electricity.
Well, he was a neighbor where I grew up, and we all thought he was a wizard because he had all this weird equipment in his basement and could build a 3-tiered organ from parts without really plans, just in his head. I mean, he was an interesting guy.
Yeah.
He grinded his own lenses, and he was an early photographer. And
did he know that you guys thought he was a wizard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, on our block, I'm the witch. So
did he wear a top hat, too?
No, he did not wear a top hat.
But you can go to Muriel's page, and you can click over to Brian's Corner and see some of the work that we're talking about.
So you can go to MurielAnderson.com, or you can go to Brian-Allen.com.
And that's Brian with a Y.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scottish way.
Oh, okay.
Before we get too far into this, can we pause for a second and ask you to do a little something on that new guitar you have?
Oh, okay, sure. You know, this time of year, I usually play something like this.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
That is great. Thank you.
You know, again, and I know I've told you this before, but for some reason, this angle, and I'm watching your fingers, I don't understand how your little tiny hands do that. It's like they stretch. I was almost thinking, okay, is that artificial intelligence enhancing those fingers? Because it's just...
Well, I remember one of our very first visits, and gosh, Muriel, was that 20 years ago?
At least.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think you had moved to Nashville yet.
Right. No.
I was still living here.
Oh, my. And you were sitting next to me when we were broadcasting from the Tribune Tower, and one of us said to you, how do you do that? You're small. And you said, well, no one ever told me I couldn't do it. Yes. So well, you just
true.
Did it.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And you've been playing since you were how old?
Since I was about 7 or 8, I think.
7 or 8. Yeah. Yeah, wow.
I remember another time I did a drive-by here that I was coming back from a rehearsal, and the expressway is completely stopped.
Yes.
And so I just tuned into your show just to save time and say, wait a minute, it's going, the traffic's going fine the other direction, so I just turned around and drove here.
That's right.
I remember that.
And then you gave me personalized traffic reports.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is Muriel's traffic report. And so it's so I would know when to drive back.
Well, we've got some catching up to do with you. You had this great concert, as you've had. What number of concert was it for you after Thanksgiving?
33rd?
You're kidding.
Yes. 33rd annual every year.
She started
yes.
young.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I guess.
She was 12. When she started that, yeah. Well, we want to get a little update on that. We had some wonderful texts come in that night after the show, since we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, people. And a number of people who'd never seen you live went out to see you that night.
Oh,
and they were just blown away.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Well, thank you.
So it's a surprise holiday drive-by with Muriel Anderson and Brian Allen with us in studio here on WGN.
When the bells are ringing, the horns all blow, and the couples we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you? Will I be among the missing? Baby, it's just too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder who's on.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Nora Jones. And what are you doing New Year's Eve? New Year's Eve, we ain't going to be here.
No.
We ain't going to be on the radio.
Rumor has it we're going to be on the radio, though.
Yeah.
Right, Julian?
Does something about a drive-by that we're doing with John Landecker?
It was relayed to me that Landecker would like to have you on the show.
Well, okay. We'll wait till his people calls our people.
Yes.
We got to get people first, yeah, well. But...
In the studio with us, Muriel Anderson, and we're getting some great reactions to Muriel's performance. By the way, speaking of performance, we want to mention some of the upcoming shows that Muriel has, but you're going to be all over the place.
She's a wise woman.
Yeah, I'm going to be packing New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going
yeah,
be
yeah. Nashville gets cold. Nashville doesn't deal well with snow. At least not as well as we do in Chicago. I don't even think they have salt trucks in Nashville when you have a big snow.
They have to now because we have a lot of rain and freeze.
Yeah.
That happens when we have ice storms.
This is true. But you're a wise woman because you guys are going to hit the road.
We're going to miss it all.
You're going to go places like California and Hawaii and
Las
Florida.
Vegas.
In fact, I see that it's going to be January 11th. You're going to be at a place that we've always wanted to visit, Volcano Village. We had a good friend of ours that we used to, Steve Young. We used to talk to him on a regular basis. He lived on Volcano Village. And when I say on, I mean on. During one of the volcano eruptions, he called us one night and he went up to the volcano and he was dropping coffee into the volcano. And you could hear the shh.
He said, I'm standing on a rock and there's lava all around me. We said, we're not paying you to do this, you know.
In fact, Brian, I'll have to see if I can find some of his old pictures because his living was made by selling pictures of what he saw in Volcano Village.
Wow.
And
yeah.
He took some extraordinary pictures.
It's fascinating. We've played there before a couple of times, and then after the show, went to see the volcano at night, which is fascinating because it's glowing red, and it makes this noise. It makes this kind of gurgling.
This
thing, and it's like a something alive.
Live, exactly what we said. Because he would just hold the phone down, and this was before phones were really sophisticated.
And we would have a conversation with a volcano.
With a volcano, yes. Well, you know, usually with the time difference, it'd be 4 o'clock in the morning. It worked.
Well, can we con you into doing something else?
Oh, sure. Well, we were just talking about that. You know, it's been so amazingly warm. It made me think of and warm and drizzly. It made me think of Summer Morning Rain, a song that I wrote a long time ago. Let's see if I remember it. I think it went like this. Thank you.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to geek out for a second here.
Okay.
Am I wrong, or is the timing of what you're doing there a little unusual? Because along with the melody, you've got a kind of a do-do-do-do that is like the raindrops.
Yeah.
And over the raindrops is then the melody. So it's not your normal back-and-forth boom-chick, boom-chick finger style thing. You're actually doing the raindrops, and then all this other stuff is happening over that.
You're very perceptive, you know, because that was written to the rhythm of the raindrops. And, you know, technically it's just a regular 4-4 thing, but the nuance of it, I'm trying to capture.
It's like you're double timing.
What they were doing, what I heard the raindrops.
Hmm. That's beautiful.
It is.
Oh.
You did an amazing song last time you were in here that you wrote when you guys were on the boat and you heard the rain up on deck.
Yeah.
And you went up in the rain.
Similar.
And it was a similar...
I get a lot of inspiration from listening to the music that happens right in nature. There's so much music all around us.
Oh, I can remember you talking about writing songs when you'd hear an owl hooting and you'd just say, wait, there's a song in that owl.
Right, there was like... An owl was making this sound. We were at Seal Trap Cove, and we'd anchored there. We were awakened by two owls singing to each other.
Oh.
So I just laid there listening to those owls. Singing melodies back and forth. Singing from either side of the cove. Just like that. Singing in minor six. To be the night of the Perseid meteor shower. So I opened the hatch. The sky was filled with stars. There was a shooting star. Another. Shooting stars than I'd ever seen before. And the moon had come up. It was low in the sky. Shining over the water. And I looked around for Captain Brian. I didn't see him until I saw the bioluminescence lighting up every oar stroke as he rowed back to the boat. He too had been awakened by those owls. Had gone out to take photos of the Perseid meteor shower.
Was really special. I mean, I got big time goosebumps.
Oh.
I do have to ask.
Yeah.
Were those, since they were singing back and forth to each other, Were they using sheet music, or were they just
Steve?
Or were they just winging it?
Oh,
oh no!
You know you're a hoot. I only do one show a night, so
very wise.
You're right. An amazing moment just happened.
Yeah,
and we just flipped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we've just
flipped it on its ear. Oh my gosh! A listener said, "Muriel, it's so good to hear you on the air. I've had more difficulty getting to a lot of places because I went having my problems related to COVID. But Saturday night after Thanksgiving, I was thinking of you.
Oh,
that's very sweet. And we had, as I said earlier, we had people that were texting as soon as they walked out of the concert. They were just blown away, and so many of them had never seen you perform. And that's why we like to have you on the radio, because then they'll come out to see you, right?
Oh, thank you.
By the way, I have to ask, yes. How old is your mom? She looks wonderful.
She's 95, a very young 95. And you know, my parents are just party animals. We have come back from 4 days of partying. We've gone from one party to the other. 4 days we've gone to parties. Yes.
Games and food and fun.
Lots of food. Yeah. Lots of family. Yeah.
Well, can I tell off the air what I was telling you? Tell you on the air what I was telling you off the air. Muriel's mother made a fabulous raspberry jam compote. It was just unbelievable. And I was savoring it. And then for Christmas, I made a cheesecake pie. And covered it with that raspberry.
And my father picked those raspberries from the garden. My mother canned it. So
it was so good.
I'm so glad. It makes me so happy.
It was
so
festive. It was so festive looking, too. That was a gift you brought when we saw you last.
Yes.
And our 8-year-old Joseph, who will be in here next hour, he said, "This is the best Christmas dessert." He loved every bit of it. So thank your mom for us, really.
We only have a few more minutes left with Muriel Anderson and Brian Allen, and we were talking off the air. You're heading to Scotland next year?
Yeah, Scotland, Ireland, Italy, and several of our friends are joining us there because the Suave Festival has started up again in Suave, Italy, and it's the most amazing musical festival. It's in a little village that's enclosed in castle walls on a hill. It's just amazing. And that's the very end of April.
Yeah.
And so some friends are joining us there. And then right after that, we'll go to Sardinia and there for a week.
Just
play some little shows. We're playing at Florence for Six Bars Jail. It's a little place there. And then Ireland for the Emerald Music Tour.
Nice.
And Emerald Guitars, who makes my harp guitar, is hosting a music tour going to all these villages in Ireland to hear the authentic music in each one.
I forget. Did we tell you about the friends of ours from Florida who are buying an Irish
church?
Church. Literally. They're, for some reason, this church came up for sale. And our friends in Florida, who are wonderful musicians, and they do a lot of folk songs and Irish songs, and they went in with some friends, they bought this church, they're going to turn it into an entertainment complex.
Because the village did not want it to be torn down. They wanted the people that bought it to keep it as it, I guess it was built in like the 1600s.
Yeah.
And so the price was good when they got a bunch of musicians to pitch in, and they said that they want to do concerts there. They want to make it available for people who are passing through to have a place to stop for authentic music.
Well, when you get the chance, look up Lucky Mud. That's the group name.
Yes.
It's Mike and Maggie McKinney. They're wonderful people. They're dear friends of ours.
And I think
you need to meet them.
They've been married over 50 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and performing for that long, and still together, which is wonderful. Yeah. Muriel, a texter from 630 area code said, "Where can I find this music so I can listen anytime?"
Aww.
So go to your website, purchase music there, right? At Muriel
Anderson. And that's just MurielAnderson.com.
Right. Another listener said, I'm so happy I turned on my radio tonight. Thank you. Thank you. And another listener said, it's been a stressful week. And that's the way holidays are oftentimes. They can be very stressful. This is a great way to catch my breath. Thank you, Muriel.
Oh,
yeah. I can't thank you enough because this was such a nice treat.
This is just the best year-end surprise.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so you are such dear friends for so long. Yeah.
You're going to be back in Nashville for New Year's Eve, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to Susie Boggess' party. She's having her soup party there.
Oh.
And so I'll tell her hello.
Tell her we said
please
hi.
Please give her a hug from us.
Yes.
She's got a wonderful soup book.
Oh, she does.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, we were supposed to be with Susie in Joliet at it was going to be the Illinois
Rock and Roll Museum.
Rock Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we were going to be inducting her, and there was there were some problems with the building. They had to
reschedule,
and so that's going to be done sometime next year.
But when they rescheduled, it's actually when she's on the road.
Yeah.
So she said, I've had this gig booked forever, so I can't change that. And so she will receive her award, and she's still kind of pinching herself, saying, really? Really? You're going to put me in the Rock Hall of Fame? That's pretty cool.
Oh, she's pretty cool.
She is wonderful.
And it's a great party, too.
I bet.
Here at that party, I ended up singing and playing next to Reba McEntire and Tommy Manuel.
Oh my
God. Susie and Kathy Mattea.
Oh,
Beth Wilson Chapman. Great, great players.
Yeah.
And singers.
And like your Monday music videos on Facebook, she does, what is it, Wine Down Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With some wine. And, well, you've done some of those with her, too, I think.
I did one, yes.
Yeah. We've got about 1 minute left. Oh. Are there any superstitions that you have for New Year's Eve?
Let's see. I have to play Superstition. That's my only superstition that I have for New Year's.
Otherwise, no.
Answer to the question ever in my whole life.
And proving that Muriel, in fact, does have 10 fingers on one hand.
That was awesome, Muriel. Thank you both for stopping by. We enjoy following
you. This
was
such a treat.
Yes, and we'd like to recommend that people who are meeting you tonight for the first time to follow you on Facebook because you're very active. They can see the lovely pictures that you guys put up from your travels by boat.
So go to MurielAnderson.com and or go to Brian-Allen.com.
Yes, yes, and we wish you all good things in 2025.
Oh, same to you.
And hopefully more time to spend with you guys, too. It would be a real treat.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
We're going to take a break. We're going to get into all kinds of tech stuff. Patrick Crispin and Joseph and Christine are in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later, we've got Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, coming on with us. So stay with us. A lot coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
That's kind of creepy.
But listen to the lyrics.
I did. It's still kind of creepy.
We hack the system and we take it all.
Mm.
2024 has been the year of the hacker, and we will be celebrating?
No.
We will be we'll be going over that along with some other things with Dr. Patrick Crispin, who is in studio with us.
And what a treat, because he's usually with us at midnight because he's out in California, and that way he can go play at Disneyland, and then he can get home and put on his jammies and do the show with us. But now he happens to be in Chicago for Christmas.
And, pardon me, Patrick, more importantly, Joseph is in the house.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, Joseph.
Yay! Hey! Joseph is in the house. Got here on Christmas Day, right?
Yep.
Yep. That's a good way to spend Christmas afternoon, right? Isn't it? On an airplane. Your mother disagrees. She's going thumbs down. You, on the other hand, loved it.
Bouncy.
A little bouncy, yeah.
And you Christine, you love the bounciness of the airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah, please. Give me more of that.
Yep.
What you had the boy do to comfort
the boy,
you.
The boy's very good.
By the way, I have to interrupt you to point out what Joseph just did. As Christine is talking, Joseph reaches over and moves Christine's mic closer to her face
so she can
hear
it.
Nice job, Joseph. Yes. You have learned the studio.
The engineer. Sorry. And he's still helping me out.
He's still adjusting your microphone for you.
Anything else I can do for you, buddy?
No.
But yes, Joseph is my travel support comfort animal.
You have a little vest for him and everything.
No. Right? He gets to sit right next to me the entire time, patting me on the back, rubbing my back as I'm not in a good place.
Yeah.
Existential crisis.
Existential crisis.
Existential?
Okay.
Wow.
8 years old, everybody.
That's his
SAT
word of the day.
Existential crises. Okay.
We have a ton of things to get to with Patrick, and we are going to do some year-end stuff that has to do with hacking, and there's a whole bunch of things to cover. Where do we want to start? Let's start with something very close to home. One
literally.
Of the oddest. Now, let me set this up.
Yes.
Okay. So Johnny and I got this new TV. It's an LG
OLED
TV, great TV, and this was, did we talk about the...
how they left it out on the driveway when they delivered it.
And how it took us hours to connect it to the base.
Because we had two broken screwdrivers.
Yeah,
but God bless our neighbor who gave us a screwdriver for Christmas.
Yes, thank you, Fareed.
Yes, thank you.
But, okay, so we get the TV is connected... And we have a soundbar. Now, the soundbar has been around for a while, so it's not the latest soundbar. But Johnny and I have set up about five of these TVs now.
Yes, same TV.
Never had a problem. Get the soundbar and the TV connected, and for whatever reason, there is this odd sort of an echoey delay.
Mm-hmm.
Now batting.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 7, 7, 7.
And we couldn't figure out what the heck the problem is. Now, Patrick, here's where I will turn it over to you and explain. And this makes zero sense to me.
It makes a little sense to me. I was playing around with what's going on. So it's a newer LG OLED. We've got a older soundbar that's connected not through HDMI, not through the video cable, but actually through something called a Toslink cable. It's an older cable, but it's basically an optical cable, fiber optic. And it turns out that on the LG OLED, when sound out was set to play both optical out device, which is the soundbar, and the TV speaker, you got a delay. And we're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. This makes absolutely no sense. Well, it turns out that on the LG, if you go into advanced settings, match screen and sound, and bypass that.
Now, I want to pause here for a second, because logic would say you don't want to bypass the thing that says, okay, we're going to put the picture
and the
sound together.
Do you want to match the screen and sound? And you're saying, no, I don't want to match the screen
and
sound.
This makes no sense.
Actually, it does. But when sound out on the newer LG OLEDs are connected to an older sound bar, the TV splits the audio between both signals.
Mm.
And before it goes out through the TV, it does some audio processing on board, and that causes a delay for some reason or another. So you've got an optical signal that's going out immediately, and the TV, for some reason or another, is like a fraction of a second off, but it sounds terrible. But if you can bypass it, you basically are telling the TV, don't actually signal process at all. just dump the audio out. Yeah. And for some reason or other, that works.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that. I know it's partly personal, but we can't be the only people on the planet that have a new TV and an older soundbar. So if you're in that situation, the solution is don't let the screen and the soundbar match the way you would think they should. Say no, bypass that, and it solves the problem.
But the next step was you went to ChatGPT.
I did. I asked ChatGPT to ask me, because it was like, this works. I don't understand why this is working. Explain to me why this is working.
And that's literally what you said in ChatGPT.
It's like, I don't need your help. I fix this. I need you to explain to me why this happened and why I was wrong, why I thought that bypassing this and leaving bypass on was going to make the audio match, and turning bypass off made them actually match. And that doesn't make any sense to me.
And again, I'm going to underscore for Patrick, having already fixed the problem, to say, I don't know what I did.
Or why that, it did that. Yeah.
Someone explained to me what I did, and it's like, yeah. There was nobody I could call, so I said, okay, I'm going to open up ChatGPT. It could have made up the answer, but the answer makes actual good sense about audio signal processing.
Wow.
And if you to put on my AV hat for USC, big institutions bypass this issue because we're now at home. We're all connecting through HDMI cables or through Toslink cables or whatever. And you end up, the more cables you have, the longer the cable runs are, it sort of put in a delay in the audio and video.
Yeah.
And you can't have that in a large classroom or a large auditorium. You need to make sure that the fixture on every one of your 20 screens and the sound out of every one of your 100 speakers is exactly to the millisecond accurate. And what we do now is instead of actually running cables to all the devices, we have all the devices connected to the internet and then have all those internet devices connected to a central hub that's running something called Dante. Don't worry about it. It's just nod and pretend that you understand it. But Dante is sort of a network clock that says, okay, here's the sound signal. It's coming into me and it is now ready now. And everything is then tied to that. You can add as many speakers as you want. They're all going to be perfectly in sync to this network thing. But home users don't do Dante because it would be, like, absurdly expensive.
Okay. We've noticed on both, it was American Idol and on The Voice, there were times when, and this would be, if I recall correctly, only, Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this wasn't during any of the pre-recorded shows.
No.
This was only during the
live
shows. The audio was out of sync with the video on the live shows on the network broadcasts.
What usually happens is sometimes your TV gets confused. If that ever happens, if you find that the audio and video are out of sync, go up a channel, go back down a channel, and see if that fixes it. If not, then you know it actually is on the network and not
well,
you.
As I recall, we did go up and came back.
And we went online, and people were complaining online, saying, people said, well, I have an old TV, and I think it's my old TV.
The other thing, didn't we find out that it depended on whether you're watching on DirecTV or
Infinity or Xfinity.
Some of the others. Yeah. So it was actually the person that was distributing this that was adding to the problem.
And honestly, it's one of the weird things about the internet is, and even streaming videos over television, is the picture could be, okay, not the perfect, but if the sound is off at all, or the muddied, or it's just delayed, boy, that drives you crazy.
It does.
I can deal with a bad picture.
Yes.
I'm not happy with it. Bad audio?
No.
Bye.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
Absolutely. Well, this, we hope, is good audio for you kids at home, so stay with us. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin, who you typically hear in our midnight hour, but he's in town, so we brought him into the studio tonight, and we got some questions, and we got a lot of ground to cover with him here on WGN. Let me
I need it.
I need it
when the moon is bright. I need it.
I need it
when you hold me tight. I need it.
I need it
in the middle of the night. I need your honey love. I want it.
I want it
when the lights are low. I want it.
I want it
just before you go. I want it.
I want it
because I love you so. Have a little mess and give some
honey love.
Now,
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now, I can hear the assembled multitude saying, what the heck does honey love have to do with technology? Patrick, what does honey love have to do with technology?
There's a web browser extension called the Honey browser extension, and it's gotten a lot of bad press this week. I want to explain what's going on. To preface this, there are three things you got to keep in mind. One, if you're not paying for something, you're the product. You don't pay for the Honey browser extension. So somehow or another, they're making money off of you. Because, okay, just keep that in mind. A lot of retailers, and we know this already, if you go online and buy something, a lot of retailers are going to offer you a discount, but you have to know the special code. And those codes aren't everywhere when you go buy something. Third thing to remember is that there are influencers, the people who do YouTube and TikTok and whatever, who will have affiliate links. And basically, when you go and click on those links in the notes in a YouTube section, the person who's referring you gets a commission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for them to make money. And there are actually a lot of not-for-profits use that as well, where you say, hey, if you go to Amazon, click on this link because our church gets a little percentage.
Right.
I know that Amazon had something called Amazon Smile, where mm-hmm. if you could choose who you're going to give money to. I gave a whole bunch of money to the Phantom Regiment that way. So all three of these things come together. Honey is a free browser extension that is has been widely promoted by practically every YouTuber you could possibly imagine. Every popular YouTuber, Mr. Beast, Mark Rober, MKBHD, you name it, they were all promoting because they were being paid to advertise
mm-hmm.
and say PayPal purchased a company. I think they paid $4 billion for it back in 2020. And there's about 20 million people who have installed this browser extension. Now, why would you install this?
Exactly.
Well, the promise of this is you go and you go buy something at any place on the internet. And when you go to the checkout page and you're ready to check out, the Honey browser extension says, hey, I'm going to stop right there. Let me go check to see if you have any discount codes that I can go find for you and apply. Now, you and I are listening to that saying, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to give me discount codes. Cool beans. Well, it turns out, and there's a YouTube investigator, Megalag, who actually did a look into this, and it turns out that Honey starts partnering with businesses and says, I see that you're giving discounts of 40% to a whole bunch of people on the internet. If you come to me and pay me some money, I'll make sure that nobody sees the 40% discount. I'll only give them a 5% discount. They'll think it's fantastic. I'm making money. You're making money. The people think that they're saving money. But there are better discounts on the internet, but Honey doesn't show it to you. So Honey says it's going to give you the best discount. It doesn't. And oftentimes it just lies and says, there's no discounts for you. Sorry about it. The other thing is when you go click and when you're at the checkout browser, checkout page, and it says, okay, go check to see if I've got a discount. It goes and takes the referral code from whoever referred you to it, your church or mm-hmm. Mark Rober or MKBHD or whoever, and changes it to Honey, PayPal Honey, so that PayPal Honey gets the commission and not the person who is referring you to this. So all of the YouTubers are up in arms in this because this is millions of dollars
mm-hmm. taken away
that
from
have been
them.
Siphoned from them.
Wow.
So you think you're saving your money. The people who are referring you to these particular websites are not getting paid for it. PayPal Honey is making all the money, and it doesn't happen. So what ends up happening is that it looks like everybody's kind of saying, if you have the PayPal Honey browser extension, and I'm going to say this as well, this works the same way for Rakuten or any of those other ones
really?
That are discount codes, because what happens is it goes and removes the referral code of the person who's sent you to that place, so they're not making money. Whoever is, with Rakuten or you know, PayPal or PayPal Honey, they're making the money and the commission off of it.
Okay.
And so, I'm going to pause here because, Johnny, you and I have talked about there's some people that you follow,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say one woman in particular who has actually been able to buy a house
mm-hmm.
based on the
commissions.
The yep. commissions
yeah.
that she has been making on YouTube.
Stunning.
So this is taking those commissions away
yep.
from her and everybody else who's trying to make money.
Anybody's doing the click-through links
yep.
on the YouTube, at the YouTube saying, hey, go, you know, I'm going to talk about these products in my video. Here's the links to the Amazon where you can purchase this. I get a commission from it mm-hmm. when you purchase this. But when you click on it, they don't get the commission because PayPal Honey is bypassing it and taking that money from
okay.
that.
I don't have Honey on my phone,
right.
but I do have Rakuten. So you're saying I should take that off?
I would just be aware that with Rakuten, you might be saving some discounts. We don't know.
It was just saving
best.
Me time because I would go out on
exactly.
the internet and look for these things.
But it may not be giving you the best deal.
Ah.
And again, they're taking the commission that would
yeah.
normally be given to the influencer who got you to go and purchase a product in the first place.
Interesting.
Okay. If you want to be careful of Rakuten and Honey and everything else, is there a... You can kind of try this and be reasonably sure that the discounts you're getting would be accurate and the right people are getting the money? Is there...
No. I mean, the reality is when you click on and you're in the checkout line
right.
and you click in that little smiley face thing that shows up in
mm-hmm.
this saying, go check to see if I've got a discount. It opens up a second browser window
mm-hmm.
in the background and then changes the referral code.
So that's why it's called a browser extension?
Browser extension is something you get a base web browser. So you have, say, Firefox
mm-hmm.
or Chrome or Safari or Edge. And out of the box, it doesn't have any extra bells and
right.
whistles with it. You can then go and add extra programs, which are extra bells and whistles. And this is one of those that is going to, air quote, check for discount codes. But the reality is it's not checking for the best discount codes. It's showing you the discount codes that they were paid to show you, if anything. So be aware.
Okay.
Honey's concerns.
Yes.
is one option on a lot of sites when you're buying whatever. They say, sign up for our email.
That's fine.
And if you sign up for their email,
you'll get a code that you can then apply to their products.
The other thing is you can go out and look on the internet. You can go to Retail Me, not in other places. But even those, I mean, they've just been a lot of garbage codes that have been generated mm-hmm. that it's kind of – there is no fix that guarantees, one, that you're going to get the best discount, and two – short of not using Honey or any of those browser extensions that looks for discount codes, if you want to make sure that the people who are the YouTubers or the Instagrammers or whoever say, hey, click on this product, this is something I recommend, you want to make sure that they get a commission from that, you can't use these extensions anymore.
A listener asks if Honey is an issue. Is there an issue with Camel on Amazon price checks?
It depends. If you are using CamelCamelCamel.com, absolutely perfect. No, nothing to worry about. I use that all the time. So if you aren't aware of it, go to CamelCamelCamel.com. And what you do is you open up another browser window, go to Amazon, find the product that you want, copy and paste the entire URL into the CamelCamelCamel website, and it will show you the historical prices for that particular product from the beginning of time until
really?
Today, and tell you, is this a good price? Is this the average price? Is it a high price? I use it all the time. If there's something on sale, and it's like, is this really on sale? So, for example, on Black Friday or Cyber Monday,
yeah.
I'll go and look, and they'll say, wow, this is the best deal
yeah.
ever. And it turns out they'd actually jacked the price up
and
then
brought it
down.
Yeah.
And it's like, so CamelCamelCamel, fantastic. There is a browser extension called the Camelizer. I don't know if that's safe or not. Honestly, the way to check it is go to Amazon or go to YouTube. Go to a YouTuber that you like. See something that they have a product link down in the description beneath
mm-hmm.
the video. Click on that. Take the URL. Copy the full URL. and go to the Camelizer and use the Camelizer and see if the address changes. And you'll see the referral code change if it does. If it does, then you know that Camel's taking the commission and from the person who referred you.
Interesting, like Honey is doing.
Yep.
I can probably Google this or ask ChatGPT. Why is it called Camel? Because that's just odd.
I don't know. I used to remember, I don't know. But we can ask ChatGPT during the break. Okay.
Because it's searching through the desert.
No way, maybe.
Searching through all the past to find out if this, in fact, is a good discount.
Questions coming in for Patrick at 312-981-7200, and we do have a lot of ground to cover here. We're going to talk about hacking because that was the topic, it seemed like, for months on the radio and in the real world. Listener at 847 says, Patrick is an iPhone user. Is there an anti-spyware software that you recommend for the iPhone?
And the answer is no, because you don't need one. The iPhone is so locked down on all the different things that could be added to your iPhone and has to go through the iPhones or the App Store. And it's almost impossible for you to get spyware and malware and whatever on an iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, you don't need to worry about it. It's taken care of.
Speaking of that kind of thing, I recently, just this week, I updated my phone. I have a Samsung Android phone. And I noticed, and I've never researched this, and I wonder to know if you know, who the heck is Knox? Because it says, this update protected by Knox.
Never heard of him.
K-N-O-X?
K-N-O-X, yeah.
I've never seen that on my phone.
Yeah, look at it the next time you get an update, and you say this. Basically, this update, this download is protected by Knox.
I've never noticed that. That's kind of.
I love it when I can come up with questions that Patrick doesn't know the answer to. My work here is done.
I'm typing in ChatGPT as we speak.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. So when you do that, you're actually just going to ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.com and typing. When you're dealing with ChatGPT, the big thing to remember is don't use search language. You know how we're used to using one or two words or whatever?
Talk to it.
Have a conversation. I actually was asking it earlier. It says, why is it called Camel? ChatGPT thinks it's because it's just memorable. You're going to remember that.
I actually probably buy that. Yeah.
And then this is the association with the graphs, because as prices go up or down or up and down, it creates humps. That's what ChatGPT thinks.
That's good.
Okay.
It creates humps with the graph.
That works.
And when an app or device says it's protected by Knox, it refers to Samsung Knox, a security framework developed by Samsung to provide robust protection for mobile devices.
Okay.
There you go. A couple good examples of how ChatGPT works. Yeah.
Of course, ChatGPT could be making this up, so I have no idea. I might have just
Listener just texted and said Knox is Samsung's encrypted security.
See?
Okay.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Yes, and thank you, 331 area code, for checking in.
Thank you.
We've got about 16 states that are checking in tonight, which is pretty awesome. We appreciate that.
And we will get to our shout-outs a little later. We were talking about browser extensions, but we wanted to segue into browsers and alternative browsers.
Yep. Everybody knows about the major browsers that are out there. Chrome is the biggie. It's about 55% of all users are using Chrome. Safari is the Apple creation. About 32.5% of the web browsers users out there are using that. Edge, which is Microsoft. Remember, Internet Explorer used to be the bomb, but kind of everybody went over to Chrome.
Yeah,
Edge is out there. It's about 6% of the population. Firefox, which is what the graybeards and the cybersecurity experts use, and I'm one of them. Firefox only has about 3%.
And I'm amazed that Firefox only has 3%.
Really,
I've used that since it segued from Netscape.
And then Opera is about less than 1%. I mean, nobody's using Opera. But there is a growing group of browsers that have been popping up that are sort of niche browsers that lean heavily into privacy. If you're really, really concerned about privacy and you say, I just don't want to do Chrome, I don't trust Google, I don't want to do Safari because I don't trust Apple, Edge, I hate Microsoft. Firefox, I hate the Mozilla Foundation.
Yes.
I want to do something different. There are a couple of them. One of them is a very popular one. It's called the Aloha browser.
Aloha, as in Hawaii?
As in AlohaBrowser.com. It has a built-in virtual private network, so it does encrypt your communications, has built-in ad blocking, has a private tabs that do not store your browsing history, which is a really nice thing. The ad blocking's okay. It's not as good as what you can get if you were using, say, Firefox and uBlock Origin. And some of the websites that are out there might actually not work because it requires you to have ads to be able to do it, and the browser doesn't know how to do it. The other thing is, Aloha Browser is built on the Chromium framework, so even though it's, if you hate Google, you can't use this because Chromium is Google. There's Firefox Focus, which is off of Mozilla Firefox. Actually, Mozilla Gecko is the engine that runs that, and it blocks pretty much all of the major trackers that are out there that's tracking you as you go online. There is a single button deletion of your history where you can say, forget everything that I've done in this, which is a little easier than any other browser out there. Not a lot of features in it, so there's not a lot of add-ons. In fact, I don't think there are any add-ons at all. Can't really customize it, but out of the box, it's a safe browser. There's Brave. Brave is also built on the Chromium framework. And then DuckDuckGo. We all know about the DuckDuckGo search engine. They have the DuckDuckGo privacy browser, which, depending on if you're using a Mac, they're using WebKit, which is Apple's sort of version. I think it is Apple's. And then the rendering engine for Chromium on Android. Honestly, my recommendation is you really should have multiple browsers just to see what's going on. So on my computer, I actually do use Chrome. I use Safari. I use Edge on a Mac. I use Firefox. I don't use Opera. I haven't used any of the alternative browsers, but if you want to try out Aloha or Firefox Focus or Brave or DuckDuckGo privacy browser, test it out, see if it meets your needs, and go for it.
I'm going to back you up on the business of having multiple browsers because I am finding that my bank does not play well with certain browsers.
Yep.
And if I didn't have other options, I would think that there was something wrong with my bank.
And at the moment, we have on our desktop Firefox, Chrome, Brave, Opera, Edge,
DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo. And I want to say one other, and I'm forgetting what it is. But absolutely, multiple browsers.
And Firefox is my go-to. That's what I use all the time. But I've tweaked it to protect me. So I'm running uBlock Origin, which is any tracking, any ads and things like that. The EFF Privacy Badger, which is, again, a privacy add-in. And something called Clear URLs, which kind of just makes sure that it removes the tracking cookies from URLs. But there are websites I go to when I'm running Firefox with all those, and it says, I'm not going to let you in. And it's like, okay, fine, I'll go over to this other browser just for this one website so I can go and interact with you, and then I'm done.
Our bank does not play well with Firefox. Yep. It just doesn't load. So I go over to Chrome, and boom, there it is.
And then when you're done, close Chrome, go back to Firefox.
That's right. Right.
And I want to add one thing before we break, because you talk about browsers that will, you know, delete cookies and get rid of history and stuff like that. I have found I do a lot of editing with my brother's blog. And sometimes if I'm searching for stuff that I want to put links on to, Opera sites, names that I'm not familiar with, by the time I'm done with that, oh boy, do I have stuff.
Hundreds of things.
And I have used, for years, I've been using its super anti-spyware. I run this just about every day. On a normal day, I'll get maybe 60 pieces of spyware. After I have done Lee's blog, it's about 700 additional pieces of spyware.
Freaky.
So I would say super anti-spyware. The free version is what I use, and it's fine.
I will tell you, you are throwing away some of the referral cookies. And what that means is, we talked earlier about Honey and how when you're clicking on a link in the description of a YouTube video, and you decide not to go and buy something at that time, it puts a cookie on your browser saying, okay, you clicked on Amazon from MKBHD or from Mr. Beast, but you didn't buy anything yet. But I tell you what, you come back to Amazon within the next X number of days, we're still going to give Mr. Beast a cut.
Yeah.
Whatever you buy. You can buy kitty litter, and we're going to give Mr. Beast a cut.
But my logic is, okay, I'm probably going to go back to Mr. Beast.
Exactly.
And 60 as opposed to 700 or 900,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy with doing that.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's got a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. They say, send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's got a virus. And now I've got a cold. I got firewalls and passwords. I got usernames and codes. But my laptop got a virus. And now I've got a cold.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, boys and girls, 2024 was the year of the hack, and probably just the beginning of many years of hacks. And here to review the year in hacking is Patrick Crispin.
By the way, a hat tip to Lily Hay Newman for giving me the idea to talk about this in the 1226 issue of Wired. She did a great breakdown. I'll show a couple things that she didn't talk about, but actually, the most recent hack that we need to talk about, Japan Airlines. This was on the news recently. Yeah. Network was hit by what's called a distributive denial of service attack. That's where so much traffic was going to their websites, to their network, that it caused their network to crash. And this happened on Thursday. They say, quote, we were receiving a large amount of data from an external source. In other words, distributed denial of service. Fortunately, it's not terrible. None of the data about the passengers was released or whatever. Five flights ended up being canceled. Only five.
Yeah.
60 domestic flights within Japan ended up having about a 90-minute wait.
It sounds like they caught it pretty soon.
They caught it really quick, and they had a good IT department over there. 11 international flights were delayed. So service restored really, really quickly. Hats off to them. By the way, coincidentally, and I'm going to mention this, I can't put the two together, so I'll just say we know that Japan Airlines was hacked on Thursday. Coincidentally, this happened right after Japan moved to give Ukraine $3 billion from proceeds from Russian assets. Are those two related? I don't know. They sure do sound.
And let me, I want to read a...
this is in our mail today.
This is a piece of snail mail that we got, and I want to read this because there may be some other people that did business with the Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Now, neither Johnny or I have seen anybody at the Illinois Bone and Joint
Probably
Institute
10 years.
For years.
Yeah.
But received this notice of data breach. Illinois Bone and Joint Institute, values, blah, 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 blah. We are writing to you to advise you of a recent incident that may have involved some of your personal information. Importantly, we remained open and continue to treat, blah, blah, blah. After discovering the incident, we secured our systems, conducted a thorough investigation, reviewed the involved data. This time it was necessary for us to understand the scope of the incident, to identify the involved individuals. Based on our investigation, this letter explains the incident, steps we've taken. On July 4th, 2024, we detected unauthorized access to certain computer systems on our network. We immediately initiated an investigation. I'm skipping through this. The investigation determined that an unauthorized third party accessed the network between May 30th, 2024 and July 4th, 2024 and acquired certain files during this period. And what information was involved based on the investigation, we determined that involved files contained personal information that included your name in combination with your medical record number and or clinical or treatment information, blah, 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 blah. My point is, if you have been a customer of Illinois Bone and Joint Institute, you might want to check with them. Mm-hmm. If you didn't see anything in the mail, you might want to check with them, because we haven't seen anybody there for 10 years, and yet they're saying our information was part of that information that was hacked. So, again, welcome to the year of the hack.
And this is not the only year, the only organization that got hit. I mean, the big one was Change Healthcare.
Oh, yes.
Change Healthcare is the medical billing and insurance processing company that's part of United Health. And they were hit with a ransomware attack earlier summer that caused basically hospitals to have to shut down, doctor's offices, pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Other
How about the Northwestern Hospital hack?
Yeah.
100 million people got hit by this, and it's huge. It's probably one of the biggest breaches of medical data ever.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware that this information's out there, and you've got to be really, really careful now with anybody contacting you saying, hey, I'm with your doctor's office. I know that you have plantar fasciitis. And it could be that they're Russians who downloaded your medical information as part of the 100 million people whose medical information was downloaded.
Yeah, something like, you have an outstanding bill. We need a credit card number. Yep. So if you ever want to be treated again.
What's really sad is that Change Healthcare ended up paying the Russian hackers who ended up putting in the ransomware attack. They paid them $22 million.
Ooh.
And it immediately threw gasoline on the fire, so everybody was saying, "Wait a minute! There's $22 million we can make by doing this. I'm gonna go and do this too." And
Well, Patrick, isn't that the complete opposite of what Lurie Children's Hospital?
Yeah.
They kind of dug their heels in and
said
no,
pound sand.
That's right. I know this is going to make our life very, very difficult, and it did for weeks, but they were not about to give in to them.
But because if you give in to them, you're saying, okay, here's the money, now give us our systems back. But they still have the ability to get back into your system. You haven't solved the problem.
You are trusting that they're honorable people who aren't going to go and say, you know, I really liked you at $22 million. I think 44 is going to be a good idea.
So, was this the year of the bad actor? Because this is the year that I first heard that term, and I think it's really goofy. Bad actors. And you hear in a newscast, well, bad actors, broken. Excuse me. They're just bad people.
They are bad people. And unfortunately, there are some people who just like to cause damage. There are people out there who want to use this to make money.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, there are a lot of nation states who are not friends of democracy and not friends of America, who want to cause as much damage to us as possible. And you can do this real quickly.
Well, we've got some more questions coming in for Patrick, and he's agreed to stay for a bit to answer some of those questions. So please stay with us.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin. And we were dealing with 2024, the year of the hack. And as Patrick has it phrased here, until 2025 and 2026 and blah, 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 blah. So any other hackable moments we wanted to remember?
Yeah, Salt Typhoon is going to be the big one that we're going to continue talking about. We first talked about that on December 7th.
Yeah.
And hackers linked to the Chinese government have broken into now nine, not eight, we thought it was eight, but it's nine internet telephone providers. That includes AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and Lumen. And still, none of the providers are saying that they've been able to remove the Chinese hackers from their systems. They're so deeply embedded.
Still.
Now, Wired actually reports, and this is something I want to read, because this is bad, but it could be so much worse. The attackers surveilled a small group of people, less than 150 by current count, but they included individuals who were already subject to U.S. wiretap orders, as well as State Department officials and members of both Trump and Harris presidential campaigns. Additionally, texts and calls from other people who interacted with the Salt Typhoon targets were inherently also caught up in the espionage scheme. So for you and me and everybody else, it doesn't look like we were targeted. That doesn't mean that our data is not sitting in some Chinese server. So just be aware. The other one that's really kind of just embarrassing is, and we talked about this a couple times with April 7th and May 27th. We first talked about Ticketmaster being hacked.
Yes.
And then we talked about AT&T a couple times being hacked. And it turns out that they all subscribe to a provider called Snowflake. And Snowflake, for some reason or other, allowed these companies not to require two-factor authentication for their network administrators. So people were able to target Snowflake and then get into AT&T and Ticketmaster and Santander Bank and Neiman Marcus and about 160 other countries or companies. Snowflake now requires two-factor authentication for everything. How they didn't require two-factor authentication to their administrators of all these companies, I don't know, but this one's really, really, really bad. We talked about Change Healthcare. The other one was National Public Data, which isn't what you thought about or thought it was. We all heard it was the Social Security Administration has been hacked. It wasn't. It was. This is a background check company that had just craptastic in security. And data could include Social Security numbers and names and email addresses, phone numbers, postal addresses. It looks like, again, that one was bad. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was. They say in their documents about only 1.3 million people were targeted. So, you know, it's only 1.3 million people had their Social Security numbers.
The upside of that story, too, I think, is a lot of us decided to lock down all of our data. You know, to just take, we've been thinking about it and just not getting around to it. I cannot tell you the number of people that said, even if it's not real, it motivated me to do something.
Putting a freeze out there is such a smart idea, both for Social Security and all of your credit agencies. New ones, and this wasn't in the Wired article, but this just happened today. Zag is a company that makes iPhone cases, Android cases, screen protectors, and things like that. It looks like their credit card data, if you bought from them, might have been exposed because the third-party company that they used to process it was hacked. So this gets into the whole thing is the company's doing a good job, but they hired a company to go and do something for them, and that company
got hacked.
The third-party security was terrible there, and they got hacked.
Okay, so, can I pause you for a second? This may be a dumb question, but do we know if not all, but many of these hacks are because of a lack of two-factor authentication on
the
part
of
somebody?
It's a lot of the cases. It's just a lack of two-factor authentication.
Because, and I want to pause on that because so many people say, oh, two-factor authentication is such a pain. And Christine is waving her hand. But you need to do it.
This is 2024.
You need to do it.
It's the keys to your kingdom.
Well, and I would say not just if you're an administrator, if you're on the internet in any way, you need. Don't give me that look, Christine. you need to do two-factor authentication.
She hates it. But I do it all the time. By the way, one new one just came up. If you have an electric Volkswagen, bad news, as of today, Caridad, which is the software company that powers your Volkswagen, it looks like the data from that has been exposed, including your driver's names and the exact precise location of your vehicles to the centimeter.
So technically, they could actually go in and they could stop the car.
They can't stop it. They just know where it is, but they could pull in front of it. So if you have a Volkswagen, just be prepared, electric Volkswagen. And I think electric Audi too, because VW and Audi are the same company.
Whoa.
Just be prepared. You're going to be getting something very shortly saying, bad news, somebody can be tracking you right now. And
so Tom Appel, if you're listening, because we're going to be talking with Tom in a few minutes. Send us a copy of that article.
Yes. We're going to take a break and come back. And how about in the final few minutes with you, if we get some of the questions that are coming in at 312-981-7200. This is an opportunity to get Patrick in here a little earlier to talk tech with us. But next week is technically your tech week. So you'll be back in California with us on the radio. So, yes, we'll be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. One of the great discoveries we made in 2024 was AC/DC's Cyberspace. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how much Johnny loves it.
Did you say something? I had my headphones turned off. I don't know. I was looking at your lips and you were smiling and you seemed happy. So,
do I get to give you the same response that you gave me about two-factor authentication?
Yeah. That was Steve's reaction to Christine was, remember peanuts? Yes. Okay. 708 area code. This is for you, Florence. Listen up. Florence says, Patrick, can you please review Camel, Camel, Camel? I didn't quite understand it. I'd really appreciate it.
CamelCamelCamel.com website. What you do is you go to CamelCamelCamel.com, perfectly legitimate website. You then, in a new browser window or a different browser, go to Amazon. See the product that you want to buy at Amazon. Go up to the address bar, copy and paste the URL for the product from Amazon. Go back to CamelCamelCamel and paste it there. What it does is it shows you a graph of the historical price of that product from the beginning of time until today and tells you, is this overpriced? Is it underpriced? Is this a good deal or whatever? It's a fantastic tool. So when I'm doing a really expensive thing at Amazon, I'm going to go look at Camel, Camel, Camel to make sure that I'm getting a decent deal. Absolutely legit. We don't know if the Camelizer kind of gets in the way of the affiliate links, but it's not going to be giving you discount codes like Honey. It's just telling you, here is this product. And here, last week it cost $100. Today it's $200. You probably don't want to get it today. But
man,
yeah.
I could spend a lot of time using Camel, Camel, Camel.
I use Camel, Camel, Camel all the time. And a listener was calling and asking, Keepa.
Keepa. K-E-E-P-A, a price checking app on Amazon. What do you know about that? Is it legit?
It is legit. This is one of those things where it primarily provides Amazon price tracking, and it doesn't rely on affiliate links, so it's not going to be jumping in and stealing the money from MKBHD or from Mark Rober or anybody else. It's less intrusive, and I think that might be a good one. It's not going to tell you necessarily if there are discount codes, but again, you don't really find Amazon discount codes anywhere. It just tells you the history. I think it's a competitor for Camel, Camel, Camel.
Okay. A listener from an 847 area code said, Patrick, are iPads as locked down as iPhones are?
Yes. And it turns out that they all are running off the iOS operating system. In fact, there is an additional layer that you can put onto it where you can do managed devices where an institution can buy a license for some sort of remote management tool that allows them to manage their devices. I do that all of the iOS devices that I manage at USC, where I just have a console where I can see, okay, here are all the ones that need to be updated. Here's the apps that are on them. If something goes missing, I can lock that machine down and it becomes a brick so nobody could use it.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually get it out of the box. So it comes from Apple locked down to me. So if somebody steals my iPad before it even opens up, it belongs to me and it's useless for them.
Interesting.
But again, that's for businesses. You'd have to do that.
Let me stay with operating systems for a second, but I'm signaling for a turn. But I think it's an important one. As we near the end of this year,
mm-hmm.
Windows 10,
yes,
which is going to really, 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 really not be supported as of what? Is it October in 2025?
I think it's like October 19th.
So the point is, one of the things you should be doing is taking a look at your options for, if you choose to stay with Windows, to upgrade to Windows 11. And
if you're buying a new computer, because the deal is just so great, you might think twice if it's a Windows 10 machine.
Just remember, when we talk about end of life, I apologize, I said the 19th, it's actually the 14th. Windows 10 continues to work. You
right.
can continue to use
mm-hmm.
Windows 10 yeah. forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's not, your computer doesn't stop working on the 14th. It's just Microsoft is no longer going to issue any more patches for that at all. Period.
So no support.
And this is a case of they're not even going to offer a paid option?
Well, no, they are. Oh, that's the thing is, if you want to keep it going, there is an extended security update for Windows 10. Customers can purchase a single year for $30, and then it goes through the roof year
really?
After year. They want you to get off of Windows 10.
Yeah.
So right now, all the updates you get for Windows 10, free until the 14th of October. After October 14th, you have a choice. You can say, I'm going to go and just... Bite the bullet, and I'm gonna go completely raw and come and get me, hackers, and there's nothing to stop it. Or you can pay Microsoft $30 that first year, and it's going to go really expensive in year two and year three. They really want you to be on Windows 11.
Or you can take that Windows 10 computer offline.
Yes.
And work offline on that computer and use...
But how are you going to go to Camel, Camel, Camel?
Well, there is that.
Okay. I feel for this listener who has an iPhone 15 and somehow his ringer got shut off. He's got no sound. It's perplexing. So do you have anything that you could share to help him?
Yeah. First of all, you're probably going to need to call the Genius Bar at your Apple store and just go in, but I can offer some suggestions. First of all, make sure that on the side of your phone, there's a little switch. And if the phone is in silent mode, which is that little switch on the left-hand side, and you'll see a little orange under it, that will sometimes kill the sound. You want to make sure the volume's turned up and just set it up. The other thing is, if you turn on your phone, your iPhone, and then from the top right-hand corner, pull down from the top right-hand corner down. You want to make sure that Do Not Disturb and Focus modes are turned off. If those are on, they could actually cause your phone speakers mm-hmm. to not to work. The other thing to think about is if you see Bluetooth turned on, turn Bluetooth off. It could be that your phone is being paired to some other external speaker that's not working. So it's one of those things without seeing your device, we don't know, but there's a whole bunch of different things you could do. The Genius Bar should be able to assist you with this. And by the way, unlike places where you have to pay for it, because you bought an iPhone, Genius Bar visits are free.
We had a great experience when we called the Genius Bar with our a Mac.
With the Mac Air.
Yeah.
Because there was an update. This is when we were in Florida, and there was an update that completely
wonderful.
Kludged the computer, but they were terrific.
By the way, full disclosure, Genius Bar visits are free. If you have to do a repair or something like that and you don't have AppleCare Plus.
Because
you might have to pay some money for
because
it.
Because we wound up, we have AppleCare, And we called, and it wound up taking 48 hours,
yeah.
But it was fixed.
Yes. Well, the listener, and again, this is the 815, he said he was playing around with his iPhone 15 and accidentally hit something. So you are right. He might be able to just zero in on it by looking at those places like airplane mode or do not disturb. And it might be that. I hope it is that simple.
I hope it's that simple.
Because it's very frustrating.
Now, we want to segue. We've got a limited amount of time. We want to segue for a second into Patrick's personal life. And Patrick's adventures trying to find a good place to download some what?
So I bought myself a new Steam Deck, which is a handheld gaming console. And I was going to download a couple video games. And, of course, being an idiot, I decided to download the biggest video game that you could possibly imagine, which is Cyberpunk 2077. Don't worry about it. And this turned out to be like 158 gigabytes. And unfortunately, we're staying with Steve and Johnny, and they have a DSL line, and their DSL line's not the fastest in the world, because, again, that's DSL.
By the way, I'm interrupting you here. AT&T, make it a little easier for us to find out if we can get fiber optic in our neighborhood.
If not, we're going to get you on cable.
Strong message.
We're going
to
fix that.
Yes.
So I was trying to figure out, okay, where can I go that has fast internet? Well, I work for USC, and USC is part of the InCommon Federation. It's all the major research universities in the world, all the research hospitals, Underwriters Laboratory is part of it, and all of these institutions have a wireless network called EduRoam. And EduRoam requires you to have a email address from your home institution, your home institution's password, and you can then go and connect to the wireless network, the EduRoam wireless network, at their remote site. So because the internet was so slow where we were, it was like, okay, where can I go that can I connect to EduRoam? I could go to Underwriters Laboratories. My guess is if they saw me outside of UL in my car downloading things,
a game, no less,
I would be shot. So I drove over to Northwestern, and apparently Northwestern has EduRoam because, again, they're part of the InCommon Federation. So I connected to EduRoam, sat in the parking lot, and downloaded all the games.
All right. And who was the you were near a parking space with what, a doctor, sir, somebody,
yeah,
rather?
There were a Nobel physicist, I did, or a Nobel chemist. I did not take his parking space.
You were parked next to his space.
I parked next to a parking space for a Nobel physicist, Nobel chemist.
And he was a sir. It says that on his sign that's right there. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to have you in studio. What a treat for us. I hope you're okay with the fact that we're going to start the new year off with you next week.
Happy to do it. Joseph, do you want to say anything?
No. Oh. No. He's okay. Busy.
That was Joseph's
He's watching
head
videos.
Rattling.
That was his head rattling, yes.
Christine?
He's playing the real Peanuts wah, wah, wah for you.
By the way, we started the segment with that cyberspace song. I want you to know that when Steve plays it, he jams it out here. It is like they're hanging above, hanging over here are giant Harry Carey glasses. Those things were bouncing on the wall.
Yeah,
you were playing
it's
it so
like
loud
air
in
guitar.
Here.
And, and your point is,
all right, you guys, take care. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
And we are going to take a break here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's the Eagles and Funky New Year.
Don't you want to go to a party where everybody's singing Funky New Year?
Yeah.
That would be so cool. And you don't hear this song very often.
No, and it's really, really good.
Frankly, I love Dan Fogelberg, but just another New Year's Eve? I am not good after I hear that. I am in a blue funk. And it's not funky. It's just a blue funk.
And that is on our list, but it may not be played.
I know.
I don't know.
Well, it's listening to the whole song. Like when you're sitting in the car getting ready to go into the grocery store and you're listening to the whole song and you go and you go, oh, if I run into somebody that I used to know, this is not good.
By the way, I want to acknowledge 847 area code about my AT&T comment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Says, Steve, if you go to AT&T.com and you can, wait a minute.
And you put your address in.
Yeah, wait a minute. I have to.
I know. My screen's acting funky, too.
What is going on tonight? Now I can't get the, I had the message, it went away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try and read it here. Steve, if you go to AT&T.com, you can check out the address to see what speeds are available. Fiber availability in older areas is limited, especially if you have underground cable. Cities are reluctant to let the streets be dug up. What happens when you call customer service? We'll find out Monday, but because I've already jumped through the hoops on the website, and the website is just abysmal trying to, you give your information and they say, oh, you already have service of that. Like, yeah, I know. But I'm trying to find out if I can upgrade the service.
Oh, well, you have to give us more information.
I give you this. So.
And it's going to be interesting on Monday because a holiday week.
Yeah.
Do you like the holiday, Christmas and New Year falling in the middle of the week? Because I've decided I hate it. Because people go to work right after Christmas. I know why I used...
Basically, it's 2 weeks of non-productivity. It gives you more excuse for 2 weeks of non-productivity.
But you still have to go to work. I mean, all
we don't. I don't care.
I know, so. But like on Christmas night, you're thinking, oh, I have to clean up the house and lay out my clothes for tomorrow. And because I know you always lay out your clothes for the next day, right?
Yeah.
Julian, what's your vote? Yay or nay on when the holiday falls in the middle of the week?
Yeah, I don't like it. It feels weird.
It does. It just feels like all of a sudden it's over with because people are back to business. And
But see, to me, people are not back to business. I always found that those 2 weeks, if the holiday's in the middle of the week, just figure from roughly 3 days before Christmas to about a week after New Year's, ain't nothing really going to be done. And if you're calling a business, good luck getting a human being.
So you're planning on talking to AT&T on Monday and hoping that you... Okay.
And if I don't, we'll find out who else is offering a fiber optic in our area. And
if they are.
That's what's going to happen.
Because we do have an older area, and we do have everything buried underground.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any crews out there. I know RCN had come in at one point, and I don't even know if they ever took off in our neighborhood. I know in the city of Chicago, a lot of folks like on the north side, near north side, have RCN.
And we may look into some streaming options, too.
Okay.
So point is, we're at a point now where we want a whole lot faster service than we're able to get. It's okay.
It's just okay. Yeah.
But when we have people visiting us who are power users, that's when we notice the difference.
So when we're using our typical way, it's fine. But when you have Patrick and Christine and Joseph and you got a house full of people all online, all of a sudden, everybody's going, hey, things are loading slow. And that's just the nature of the situation that we're dealing with. Okay. Wednesday is New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Julian, we didn't talk about this off the air. Do you and your family, do you have any superstitions tied into New Year's Eve, New Year's Day?
No, I don't really think so.
Really?
No,
they're
no.
not. It's certain foods that you eat for good luck? And
no, my dad does have one superstition.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like celebrating birthdays early. it has to be the day of or after. It can be the next week if it has to. But if it's an hour before, he refuses.
Really?
Wow. Well, good. Okay. I like that. I'm thinking about different cultures and what they did, because we Southerners have a lot of things that we require on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Our buddy Patricia Rotundo.
I will never forget. This is for real. Patricia would be with us
on New Year's Eve.
And her husband, Nick, was one of the members of our cyber squad. Patricia would bring, what was it, yellow underwear?
They all had new underwear, and she had a suitcase that on New Year's Eve, she would have to go walk outside with her suitcase.
They'd have to run around the block.
With the suitcase, because that would assure that you were going to have travels and good luck. And
somewhere in our archives, we have a picture of her with the yellow and the suitcase. And
not her underwear. She's not running around, no.
But... And
grapes. Remember, she always brought in grapes.
That reminds me.
We had to eat 12 grapes.
Well, we're not on the air New Year's Eve. Well, we may call into John Landecker's. But for many, many years, a certain midday host from this radio station was known to run around the block.
That's right.
Sans clothes.
And he would join us on the radio as his neighbors would be on the streets.
I'm not mentioning names, but a certain midday host on this radio station currently.
And he was back then, too.
Call him Monday. Is that midday host working Monday, or is he on vacation?
He's in a different neighborhood, too. This might be dangerous.
Well, his neighbors are about to find out more about him than they ever thought they would know.
Because he would streak on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And we would hear the neighbors out on the street cheering him on, hooting and hollering. And
were they cheering with those cheers that we heard?
Oh, I can't unsee that. Ah, my eyes!
Is that person working? We're not hearing words you're saying, Julian. We're still not hearing words you're saying. I think, has that person...
Testing.
Ah, there you are.
He will be here on Tuesday.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, then you should call that midday host
and ask him
if he's going to continue the tradition that for many years he observed when Steve and Johnny were on late nights at midnight, and we would get a live report from that person.
I'm writing this down.
We did 27 New Year's Eve broadcasts, even if we
were cheap date life after dark New Year's Eve party.
And even if we weren't scheduled that night, we would come in and do that. And it was great fun. It really was. It was easier in the Tribune Tower, to be honest with you, because we had an open door policy. If you were performing that night, you could come hang out with us, decompress, have a bite to eat, hang out with friends. Much easier than this particular building, because this place fills up. There's no parking when you pull up here
on New Year's Eve.
In fact,
don't you have a picture? Let's go ahead and post it.
I'll post that picture.
From... it was taken when we were in the Tribune Tower in the Showcase Studio, and it's a New Year's Eve picture of the crowds out on Michigan Avenue.
It literally looks like a scene from The Walking Dead, because they had closed Michigan Avenue. That happened, it was about 15 years into the mission, they decided we were getting so many people downtown, we're just going to close Michigan Avenue right at the bridge. So that was us in the Tribune Tower. And as a result, people, literally from our standpoint, we could see nothing but heads all the way over the bridge from the Tribune Tower. Now, the sad thing was the people who were right up against the glass and needed to go to the bathroom, and they're knocking on the window begging, please, can
okay.
I? No.
If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will see that Johnny just put up one of the pictures from one of our New Year's Eve at the Tribune Tower in the Showcase Studio.
Now, based on my phone picture albums, it looks like that was 2011. So that would have been 10 into 11.
Yeah, it might have been 10 mm-hmm. into 10 11. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we stopped doing full-time on December 9th of 2011. So this would have been 2010 into 2011. Mm-hmm. And that was the crowd out on Michigan Avenue, right outside the Showcase studio.
Mm. The picture doesn't do it justice, because when we would stand up and look over their heads, it literally went over the bridge over the Chicago River of just a mass of humanity.
Yep.
It was very impressive, but very sad, because we were warm and they were cold, and many of them needed to go pee, and we just couldn't let them in the building, and it was just, and we were eating food, and they were hungry, and it was not good.
But we had some fun New Year's Eve in that studio.
We really did, yeah. That's the only time I really liked being in the Showcase studio, was on New Year's Eve.
Because it was just that. It was more Showcase than studio. It was a difficult studio to work out of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was set up for people to see and not that much fun to work in. We had to do some special rewiring of things when we would have some groups in there.
Yes, and it was a very small space to bring a group in, but we did it.
One of my favorite times, although I don't think this was New Year's, this may have been a July 4th.
It was the third into the fourth.
When we had those darn accordions.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine, a whole bunch of, how many of them was
it? Eight.
Accordion players playing Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hoot.
Stairway to Heaven. If you can imagine my nightmare, that's what happened that night when eight accordionists walked in. But they wear outfits from, I guess it's best described as like 50s outfits, like poodle skirts and cat eyeglasses and big bouffant hair, and they were a hoot and a half. I mean, they were so much fun, and we had a great crowd outside the Showcase studio for that as well.
But we had some fun performances.
We did.
Muriel was there some nights.
Oh, yeah.
Muriel
Anderson. New Year's Eve, our usuals were Ronnie Rice. He spent New Year's Eve with us.
Which reminds us, Ronnie Rice is going to be joining us
in January.
We're not sure if it's next week or the week after.
Yes, because he's got some gigs coming up, and we haven't had Ronnie in here really since we've been doing this show for 2 years.
I just realized I can go to Ronnie's Facebook page, because after we talked with Ronnie, he put down the date
it.
On his
You're
page.
Right.
So
we'll
find that out.
A listener at 312-981-7200, the listener from the 847 area code, said, did Steve ever work mornings on BBM FM? I believe a man named Steve was there.
I never worked mornings. Now, I may have filled in on a morning show on BBM FM, but...
But you did work there.
I primarily, from 1970, from April of 1971 till roughly August of 1973, I did Afternoon Drive mm-hmm. at BBM FM, and then I segued from there over to the Once Big 89.
Mm-hmm. And then how did DAI work into all of that?
DAI was, for people who don't remember the name, well, actually, you probably remember Disco DAI.
Mm-hmm.
After I left LS, I went to WIND, but I was doing fill-in and weekends and stuff like that at WIND.
And they were a music station at that time.
They were music segueing into talk, so mm-hmm. I was doing a little bit of both, and I was discovering how much I enjoyed talk. But then there was an opening at DAI, and they came calling, and I went back over there, and I wound up doing both morning. I did Afternoon Drive for a while, and then I did Morning Drive at DAI. And I was doing Morning Drive at DAI the morning after Disco Demolition
mm-hmm.
when the brilliant management types decided, no, we can't mention a word about Disco Demolition.
Biggest story in town.
But I literally...
And you were the only disco station in town.
Yeah. I was forbidden to say anything about it.
Let's just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away.
It wasn't too long after that that I left that station yes. and went back to WIND, which is where you and I met.
Mm-hmm. Full time. So hopefully that answered your question. Wasn't Surratt at BBM as well? Yeah.
At that time, a bit of minutia that I've mentioned before, but I will mention it again if you haven't heard it. At that time, I was doing afternoons, and when Bob Surratt came to BBMFM, he was still working at MAQ, and he was doing, I don't know if he was doing production or what he was doing at MAQ, the TV station, and he didn't want to initially use his real name on the air, so he, when he first started doing mornings, he used the name Robert R. Bradley.
That's just pompous. I'm sorry.
And then after he got out of the contract with MAQ, he started using Bob Surratt. And then it was, we've talked about this before too, but thanks to Tommy Edwards, when Tommy Edwards was interim program director at the Once Big 89, they had fallen behind WCFL in the ratings. Tommy looked around, and Tommy hired Bob Surratt, Jim Smith, who was BBMFM's music director,
mm-hmm.
and me, and he hired Yvonne Daniels from WSDM. He brought all of us over, and it was in the fall ratings book that we were first all on the radio station together, and LS grabbed the top rating mm-hmm. spot again over CFL and never looked back.
That's right. Stayed that way for a long, long time. Well, a bunch of questions come in this evening at 312-981-7200, including, and I ask this question, do you two ever disagree? Well, of course we do. It would be unhealthy if we didn't, and it would be boring if we didn't disagree.
But I'll be...
We don't have to disagree.
I'll be very candid. One of the things that Johnny and I have prided ourselves on for many years is trying to show that you can disagree with someone and you don't have to yell at them. You can still be friends, and there's nobody that I want to go home with more than this cute blonde sitting across from me.
And as long as I'm always right.
Well, now, wait a minute.
No matter what we're talking about.
But as long as I have control of the microphone, that makes all the difference in the world, because I
think every
husband needs a microphone control.
Thank you.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
I love that.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That is one of Tom's tunes, Tom being Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom's cartoons theme tonight is what, Tom?
It's footwear.
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 Okay. Probably a silly question, but why?
Actually, for the last song on the list that I really wanted to play, and so I built it backwards.
Ah, okay. So what we just heard was?
That was Tijuana Boots by Los Straitjackets off their album from 2000, The Velvet Touch of Los Straitjackets.
That's a good tune, Tijuana Boots. I need me some Tijuana Boots. To go along with my Florida boots and my Chicago boots.
We have a bunch of things to get to. But I do want to ask, did you happen to be listening earlier tonight when we were talking with Patrick?
I was not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Patrick talked about a story that apparently just broke on Friday. Mm-hmm. It has to do with Volkswagen's electric vehicles.
Have been hacked. And that means that they can track you because of the hacking that's occurred. We were talking about the fact that 2024 was the year of the hack. Because, you know, it seemed like not a week went by that you didn't get notification or read or heard about some major corporation, somebody more than likely that would affect you, was in fact compromised. And he said, oh, by the way, the latest one was Volkswagen, electric Volkswagen. I said, wow.
And so probably Volkswagen and what?
Audi.
Audi, yeah.
Yep.
Give me a sec. I'm doing a quick search here.
This has not been a good year for Volkswagen.
Why is that?
They've run into a number of problems, and one of them was that they were unable to, on two different vehicle architectures that they were working on, one for Audi and one for the Volkswagen brand, they weren't able to deliver their own home-built electric architecture.
Oh.
And that's part of the reason they entered into a relationship with Rivian. That relation now looks to be worth about $5 billion. It's going to save Rivian, and Volkswagen's going to get access to Rivian's electric architecture, which apparently works very well.
Mm.
Okay, I found the story, and this is from cybersecuritynews.com. Volkswagen data breach, 800,000 electric car owners' data leaked. Volkswagen has inadvertently exposed personal information of 800,000 electric vehicle owners, including their location, data, and contact details. The breach, which occurred due to a misconfiguration in the systems of Cariad VW software subsidiary, left sensitive data stored on Amazon Cloud publicly accessible for months.
Wow. So it was actually a third party that's guilty, not Volkswagen itself, a company they hired.
Well, Cariad is actually a division of Volkswagen.
Oh, they are?
It is a wholly owned subsidiary. And this is one of those marketing rules. If you don't have something good, don't brand it. But Cariad is famous the last couple of years, last 24 months or so, for failing at everything they've been trying to do.
What?
This is Volkswagen's EV architecture company that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And they've been unable to deliver functioning EV architecture to Volkswagen. So Volkswagen's been forced to buy architecture, in one case from Rivian, in another case from another Chinese company. It's been humiliating for Volkswagen, and this is just another ding against their EV efforts.
Well, speaking of Volkswagen, and we're not just beating up on them, they just happen to be in the news.
By the way, I just sent this to Johnny on her Facebook page, and Johnny, if you want to send it to Tom, so he'll have access to it.
Nearly a million Americans are arrested each year for driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, according to the FBI. And a company called Insurify, which provides online insurance quote comparisons, reviewed their database of more than 97 million car insurance quotes to determine which car models had the most drivers with a DUI in 2024.
Care to guess, Tom?
I sent in the article.
Volkswagen?
Well, Volkswagen is on that list. The Beetle is number 8. Number 8, the Volkswagen Beetle. This list baffles me, Tom. It absolutely, I find it so perplexing. Again, these are the car models with the highest share of drivers getting a DUI.
And John Williams was talking about this earlier this week.
Number 1 is the Buick Envista.
Huh?
Number 2 is the Buick Encore GX.
Huh?
Number 3 is double Chevy Bolt EV.
Huh?
4 is the Chevrolet Astro. 5 is the Chevrolet Blazer. 6 is the Jaguar XF. 7 is the Buick Enclave.
Wait a minute. Now you jump from Chevy to Jaguar.
Well, number 6 is the Jag XF. 7 is the Buick Enclave. 8 is the Volkswagen New Beetle. 9 is the Chrysler Pacifica.
Huh?
And 10 is the Ford Bronco.
Say what?
There's an awful lot wrong with this list.
Fuck you.
Sorry, yes.
It's just there are no Toyotas, no Hyundais, no Kias. What?
The Astro has been out of production now for about 25 years. So that's a really weird vehicle to rise to the surface here.
Yeah, why?
The New Beetle. the new Beatles been out of production for, I think, almost 10 years.
When John Williams was talking about this, he had an interesting theory, and I wonder if this would make any sense to you, that a lot of these vehicles would be lower-priced vehicles owned by new drivers who might be more prone to responsible driving behavior.
Time out. I don't see a 21-year-old tooling around in a Pacifica.
But if they can't afford anything...
What do you think, Tom?
It depends which Pacifica, because we're talking about the Astro, which is very, very old. And there was a Pacifica. It was a crossover that preceded the Pacifica minivan. And
those
are seen on the road, and they're very old. And the Invista is, in fact, a very affordable vehicle, so that could be younger drivers. But this list is pretty helter-skelter.
I don't understand the Enclave.
I don't either. That's a relatively expensive high-end vehicle.
I don't.
Two Buicks on the list? I don't. Is that a
three
thing?
Three Buicks: the Invista, the Encore, and the Enclave, and three Chevys. I'm like, come on! There have to be other manufacturers. Tom, I think you should look into this. Being the journalist that you are, you should blow this out of the water, because maybe this Insurify company, these are the only, they're not, of course, if they got Jaguar on the list, they are dealing with people who have a high-end vehicle. But there are no BMWs.
That's also a discontinued vehicle.
Yeah. No Mercedes, no BMWs, no Audis. No, what?
But as you noted, no Toyotas. By sheer volume of vehicles on the road,
You
think they'd hit the list someplace.
Yes, absolutely. Very strange. Well, there's so much more important stuff for us to talk about with Tom Appel.
Including, after we take a break, we're going to get into the news of the Honda-Nissan merger.
A lot of good stuff to talk about tonight, talking cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
And Johnny Putnam of WGN Radio. We're talking with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, and tonight's Cartoons theme is
footwear.
And that was who and what?
That was My Little Suede Shoes by Charlie Parker, and that was a single that was released in 1951.
See, that sounds like something that you would have heard at, what was the place? Oh, Johnny, the place that went out of business years ago on Michigan Avenue, and we bought the, we have it in our living room in Florida. What was the name of that?
We have a totem pole.
We have a totem pole.
From, it was a Polynesian restaurant.
Oh, cool. Oh, Trader Vic's?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Whew, yeah.
It took three of us.
Because before they went out of business, they had an auction of some of the, and we kind of liked this.
We bought menus, and we bought the coconuts that we could have drinks in.
We did.
The coconut glasses.
Awesome.
And then we bought a big wood it's a wooden totem pole.
And it's in our living room in our little house in Florida.
And we've got a bird sitting on top of the totem pole.
Yeah. That's Pete the Pelican.
That's right, yes. But we digress now, Tom. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, we're talking about a whole bunch of automotive things. But one of the big news stories is a potential merger with Honda and Nissan. What's the deal with this?
Yeah, the biggest news story of the year lands just a week before the end of the year, but it's looking official. Automotive News is calling this a done deal, and that's that Honda and Nissan will merge. And this merger will be completed by 2026, and the new company will essentially be run by Honda. No idea what the name will be called, and no idea immediately of the impact, but the story is interesting. Nissan, in the last couple of years, badly bungled their recovery from COVID, and they ended up in some serious financial straits. They're also now they don't have a hybrid product in the U.S. now that hybrids are extremely hot. They have an electric vehicle they're having a hard time selling. And they ended up, people may remember this, with way too many 23 Rogues delaying the introduction of the 24 Rogues. Mm-hmm. And they were still selling 2023 Rogues a couple of months ago. That was kind of a huge disaster for them because they had to deeply discount product that they were selling new. So this merger will take what is essentially the, I've got the numbers here, the number 8 and number 9 automakers on the planet and combine them to form the number 3 automaker on the planet.
Really?
Yeah. And there's some confusion as to what this brings to Honda. Honda is always described as small, but they never seem to run into any sort of trouble like this. Nissan, on the other hand, is actually smaller than Honda now. That wasn't the case a few years ago, but they need stuff. And Honda can help them with that, including quality control.
So who benefits most? I understand how Nissan benefits, but does Honda benefit because they get possible additional products or tools, or how are they benefiting?
So this is what Honda may get out of the deal. Honda now sells two electric vehicles in the U.S. One is called the Prologue, that's a Honda product, and one is called the ZDX, which is an Acura product. Both of those are actually built for them by General Motors. Honda does not have an independent EV program. Nissan does have one, and the Nissan Ariya, actually a very good electric vehicle. So they have a program, they have the technology. That is something that Honda could get out of this. Nissan is going to get basically a streamlined purchasing program. They both will. That'll cut costs somewhat. And everyone's always talking about scale in the industry. And you would think that a company that makes 3 million cars had achieved scale. But when you look at Toyota or Volkswagen, those companies are selling 10 million cars a year.
Oh.
So, they're actually much, much smaller than some of the big names.
Is there any prediction about our factories going to close or be opened, or people going to lose jobs or gain more jobs? Or what are you hearing?
We don't know. I don't think much is going to change in the U.S. One of the big things that Nissan needs to do is improve factory utilization in the U.S. They could close one of their factories. I think Honda factories are safe. And I think they'll come up with some way for Nissan to sell more product in the U.S. somehow to keep the factories running. Because factories are expensive to build. They're expensive to shut down. You don't want to mess with your infrastructure if you don't have to.
Well, it's interesting how this played out on the stock market, because on Friday, Nissan took a really hard hit and the stock went down 15%. But we got to remember that in early December, when the news broke of their alliance, the stock jumped 20%.
Yes, on the news of the alliance, Nissan's stock jumped and Honda's stock fell.
Yeah. And so I guess since we're getting toward the end of the year, the reason Nissan fell so dramatically on Friday is because there still are so many unknowns, right?
Yeah, they still have an inventory issue, and they're still having a hard time selling new product. One of the problems, too, with Nissan, and it's just the way things worked out, and you know, you probably could have seen it coming, but I don't know that many analysts that did, but the Nissans that sell well, the small vehicles, the Sentra and the Kicks and things like that, they're very low they're very low priced, so there just isn't that much margin there for the company to make money on. Meanwhile, Nissan doesn't sell a lot of Pathfinders. They don't sell a lot of other SUVs where the money is, and that's something they've got to get straightened out.
A listener from 847 area code said, Tom, what do you think of the Nissan Murano?
That was just redesigned. I haven't driven it yet, but that was a vehicle that had been languishing. This is a two-row midsize crossover. It's been in Nissan's lineup forever. And you guys might remember the first Muranos when they came out. I think it was in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. They were like styling. They were high adventure styling. And we had never seen anything like that before. And the vehicle just slowly got up, watered down over time and forgotten. And that's the kind of thing that Nissan needs to kind of fix. Now, if the new Murano catches fire, that's great for them because you make so much more money on a midsize crossover than you do on a subcompact vehicle. Hmm.
Well, two questions. One, I had heard way back when this story broke that there was a possible third manufacturer who would be involved in this. Do you know anything about that?
There's two other names being bantied about. People may remember that it wasn't that long ago that when the Nissan Renault Alliance was formed, it was an unfortunate relationship. Nissan was kind of in a slump and Renault was in a good way. Mm-hmm. And Renault took a much larger stake of Nissan than Nissan took of Renault as part of that alliance. Now, they've balanced things, but that means that there's a stake of Nissan owned by the French government and Foxconn. You guys may remember the name Foxconn.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make iPhones and they have their own electric architecture. Mm-hmm. They want to buy into this and they're trying to buy that loose stock of Nissan. And we'll see what comes of that. Also, Mitsubishi could play a small player in all of this.
The other question, what does this do, if anything, to Acura and Infiniti?
Probably nothing. Infiniti is its own special problem. It's been selling poorly. They've reduced the lineup basically to just premium versions of Nissan products. That brand may actually disappear from the U.S. in the next 5 years. I think Acura is going to do just fine. It's got a good reputation. Their sales have slumped in the last few years, but the product is good, and they have a strong following. So I don't think anything happens to Acura.
Tom, do us a favor. This is a strange request. Tap on your microphone for us. Just tap on it. Okay.
I know where this request is coming from.
More to come here on WGN. If you have questions, 312-981-7200. We've got a bunch of those coming in for Tom. Got a lot of ground to cover with him as we wrap up the year here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We may just have to put the rest of the show on hold and just let this play for the over and over and over again. I know who that is. That's one of Tom's cartoons.
I know who that is, too.
I love that.
Isn't that John Lee Hooker?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh. He's had a voice like nobody else.
One of the best nights of my life.
Oh, really?
Many years ago. My first job in radio, working at WJLB in Hammond, and my friend Jan Gabriel, who was the evening disc jockey, Jan and I.
And he was the U.S. 30 drag strip.
Yeah, was the one that did Sunday.
Yeah.
Jan and I, along with our dates, went to a club on, I want to say it was around 47th in Michigan, but I could be wrong about that. And we were the only Caucasians in the club, and it was John Lee Hooker and Jimmy Reed.
Wow.
And it was a wonderful night. And that night I wound up driving Mama Reed and Jimmy Reed's son, I wound up driving them home.
I'm sorry. When you say to the band, you need a ride, I'll drive you home.
I forget what the deal was, but Jimmy was doing something in Mama Reed. And
probably drinking.
Well, that's entirely possible.
She wanted to get away from him.
But, I mean, it was a wonderful experience. But John Lee Hooker, oh, yes.
My.
So what's the song and what is that from and when? And I love it.
Yeah, that's John Lee Hooker, as we noted. And the show, the song is called No Shoes. And it was a single from 1960.
By the way, I you don't have to answer this. at this moment, but I want you to be thinking about, because every time you're on with us, we do Tom's cartoons, and these are songs that Tom uses to determine the good or bad of a sound system. Be thinking about what was the best and worst sound system in any car that you drove over the past year.
I can answer that question now.
All right.
I think the best, and it's close, because there were some really, really good sound systems I heard this year. But Ram has redesigned for 2025 the Ram 1500 pickup, mm-hmm. and the top trim level is the tungsten trim level. And the vehicle I drove came to $90,000, a bunch of money for a pickup truck.
Yeah.
But included in that $90K is their new Klipsch audio system. Mm. And it is a stunner. It is worthy of that name. People familiar with Klipsch from home audio, their expectations are met with this car stereo. It's absolutely incredible, and it fills the cabin so well. That system is, I have it here, 23 speakers and 1,228 watts.
Oh, my gosh.
And it sounds as good as that suggests.
You could just move into your truck.
Yeah.
Because you can't pay your mortgage, so you might as well move into your truck.
And who would you say is the worst?
Toyota systems have been kind of disappointing. Not Lexus, but specifically Toyota brand stuff. And I did drive the new Toyota Tacoma, which is a much better pickup truck than the old Tacoma. But the sound system was pretty lackluster. And it was branded, and I can't even remember the brand. It might have been JBL. But that branding doesn't necessarily always bring with it the audio quality it suggests.
And I would add that one of my biggest problems with many manufacturers these days is the quality, and yes, we have a horse in this race, the quality of their AM sound systems.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend the money for a small computer chip that would allow you to hear the quality of AM radio that we're putting out. The best example I can give is we have a 2005 Cadillac DTS with a Bose sound system. It doesn't matter if it's Sirius XM, if it's FM, if it's AM, all of the different bands sound wonderful. But in too many cars today, your FM band, and if you have a Sirius XM or whatever, sounds really good. And then you got the AM band, and it sounds like this. And that's not how it sounds or how it should sound, mm-hmm. but they're too cheap to spend the extra, I believe, $5 it would cost for the computer chip to put that chip into the car so everything would sound good. And especially when you're spending a lot of money for a car, you want everything to sound good.
Yeah, and European makers are perhaps most guilty of this. Yep. In Europe, they don't really use the AM band. So it's such an afterthought when they throw it onto American products, and the sound quality is usually pretty bad. And it's funny that my dad had a 1970 Chevy Nova, and you could pick up WGN Crystal Clear in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. My wife and I bought a 2000, I think it was a 1 or 2 Volvo S60 sedan, beautiful car. We couldn't pick up WGN in Palatine, which is inexcusable.
That is a good point, though, that if the cars are made in another country where this kind of radio just doesn't exist. AM just is not an...
And see, I have a problem with that, because if you're marketing your product to another country, you know what the landscape is in that country, and you want to accommodate the landscape of that country you're selling your product in.
A listener says from 872, I had an 86 Chrysler with AM stereo.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Those were good days when we had AM stereo. And boy, when we played music, there's no way you would say or could say that, it's better on the FM side. It was amazing.
Really good.
Just it wasn't completely understood by the industry.
And it wasn't marketed correctly.
It wasn't, It was kind of like, as we often say, night vision. It wasn't marketed correctly. That's why nobody clamored for it.
We have a bunch of questions for Tom. One of them involves extended warranties.
Yeah. In fact, we had a question for you on our Facebook page about extended warranties. And this morning, a question at 312-981-7200 on the very subject. So what is your opinion of them?
Generally, I say that people do not sell you a warranty that they think you need. And one of the things that we've learned about cars in the last decade, really the last 15, 20 years, is that engines and transmissions now tend to go the distance. So you are basically sort of trying to hedge your bets by buying a warranty, and warranties are expensive. And this is sort of my rule of thumb. If you were driving a Honda, a Nissan, a Chevy, just a common popular vehicle, I would not buy the extended warranty. The odds are you're never going to need an expensive repair on that vehicle. What I would do is take that money that you might have spent on it and just stick it in the bank, mm-hmm. just in case, and get some interest on that. However, if you are buying something crazy, and by crazy I mean something like a used Maserati or a used Alfa Romeo, by all means, get the extended warranty. It just might save your bank account. Those are vehicles yeah. where if you have a repair, the repair will be absurdly expensive, and you'll be so glad that someone else is paying for it. And those are notoriously unreliable vehicles, too.
And this reminds me of Steve owning a Lotus, yeah. and when the windshield was broken.
It was a 1974 Lotus Europa. It was a street-legal version of the car that Colin Chapman won the Grand Prix in. And it was it smoked, but oh boy, it took forever to get parts. I was driving yeah. from Calumet City into Chicago. A truck threw a stone up on the windshield and cracked the windshield. It took 2 months to get a new windshield from London. That was the point at which I said, this is no longer fun. Because that was becoming the norm anytime anything went yeah. wrong with that car. And a lot of things went wrong with that car. Hmm. It took forever to get the parts from Europe.
Lotus is now back in the U.S. market. They've been selling cars here, but they haven't been street legal. They've just been sold for track use. But for 2025, they're now selling an electric crossover. I think it's called the Ater, a very attractive vehicle. But I would be very, very scared to buy that vehicle. Because
wow.
I can't even, the dealer network for that is so frail, and I can't even imagine trying to get parts if something went wrong.
Still made in England, right?
The Ater is built, I think it is built in England.
Well, I remember when I bought the Lotus, it was from a Hammond Toyota dealer.
If only you knew the history of how it ended up at the yeah. Hammond Toyota dealer.
Yeah.
Some guy said, I was having a midlife crisis. Yeah. I bought it, and a week later, I realized it was dumb.
Well, speaking of buying cars, we'll take a break, and when we come back, Tom's got some tips on new or used cars and their availability and other things, so stay with us at WGN.
You got your toe caps reinforced with steel. Hard-wearing sole and heel make those tight feet feel like new. Take your pick, black or brown, great for the country or the man in town. You're gonna need a quality shoe. You don't want no standby pair. These'll take the wear and tear, made to take good care of you. For that trip by road or rail, for extra grip on those rocky trails, you're gonna need a quality shoe.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and now Tom Appel's evil plan is now unveiled. Everything, all of the previous cartoons were
John
leading
Lee Hooker,
up to this. Yeah,
Lust Straight Jackets, all of that was incidental.
It was just an excuse for you to play what?
Quality Shoe by Mark Knopfler. That was off his 2002 album, The Rag Picker's Dream.
Which is a great album.
It's a great album. Every Mark Knopfler song is about something. It's never a blow off song. There's like research involved and a story to be told, and doggone it, he's going to write a song about good shoes.
Well, I'm surprised that you didn't pick something by Paolo Nutini.
Oh yeah,
do you remember that?
New shoes.
Julian,
I love that song.
Can you find New Shoes by Paolo Nutini?
We were the first radio station,
our show,
to play Paolo Nutini and New Shoes in Chicago.
Cold one Tuesday. I'm looking tired and feeling quite sick. I felt like there was something missing in my day-to-day life. So I quickly opened the wardrobe, pulled out some jeans and a t-shirt that seemed clean, topped it off with a pair of old shoes that were ripped around the seams. And I thought, these shoes just don't suit me. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling, it's so inviting. No short on money but long on time, slowly strolling in the sweet sunshine, and I'm running late and I don't need an excuse, so I'm wearing my brand new shoes. Woke up late.
Did you ever hear that?
I'm not familiar with that song.
Yeah, Paolo Nutini.
You know, one of many times when I thought, this guy's going to be around for a long time.
And we played and the heck out of it.
Who? Paolo? Who? What?
Yes. A one-hit wonder in the States.
Yeah.
With New Shoes.
It made the top 10.
Yeah.
In fact, it was an international hit because he was from
Italy.
Italy, yeah.
With a name like Nutini?
Yeah.
He better be.
Okay. We promised we were going to get to a bunch of other things with Tom. In fact, one of the things on our list, new and used car affordability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're running into some weird situations now where car prices themselves have dropped somewhat this year. Used cars are down about 6% in price, so that's good news. New cars are down about 0.5%. So the market is stabilized. It's not getting worse anymore. But unfortunately, interest rates are way, way, way too high. New car interest rates are running about 6.5%, and used car interest rates are running over 10%. This means that the average new car loan now is about $750, and the average used car loan is over $500. And these are just, these are all-time highs for payments, and that is a problem, unfortunately. If you're buying a car cash, this is a great time to buy a car. If you need to take out a loan, this is sort of an issue, and you may want to look at something alternative, like maybe a home equity loan to cover your car.
Well, a listener wants to know if it is worth it to pay to have a used vehicle manufactured certified.
Generally, yes. The for people who don't know what that is, certified used cars are used cars sold by the manufacturer, generally at a dealership that's the same brand, but they have been inspected, they've been looked at, and there are qualifications having to do with mileage and wear and tear and things like that. They tend to cost $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 more than you might pay for a non-certified vehicle, but you're getting a better warranty. Which is important, and the car has been updated and cleaned and reconditioned. And is, I generally really like certified used.
Are you paying a lot of money to do that?
Not a bunch. I mean, maybe $2,000 more on average for the car, and that the warranty, the additional warranty that you get on the vehicle because it's certified pre-owned, probably covers most of that money.
Hmm. Okay.
There was a new vehicle that you you wanted to share some information with us.
A Buick Encore?
I just drove the Encore GX. And for people who don't know, the Encore used to be that really weird, small, squat-looking Buick. It was very popular, very affordable. That's been updated. And it's now called the GX, and it's a little bit bigger. And it's an interesting vehicle for a bunch of reasons. The one I drove, it's in my driveway right now, is the Avenir. So that's the top trim level. Loads out, totally loaded, $37,000. You can do one for much less money. That's with all-wheel drive, leather interior, lots of equipment. And it's interesting for a bunch of reasons. One, it's an affordable Buick. And it's interesting that Buick is reaching down into this affordability area. But secondarily, there's a weird feel to this vehicle that it's designed for a generation younger than mine. there isn't a volume knob, for example. There is a volume control located behind the steering wheel, but the dashboard is very clean. The console is very clean, and there's no switch gear there. You can't find something like a trip odometer. You have to go into the dashboard for that. If you want to tune the radio station, you have to go into the thing as well. But most people are supposed to load in and preset their radio stations, and then you can use another control behind the steering wheel to flip through those. So very clean. And it just seems to be for a different group of people. And though I love this vehicle, its three-cylinder engine can kick up a ruckus at low speed. And I think most younger drivers aren't going to care. But if you are older and remember smoother big V6 automatics, this might seem a little crude to you.
Is this the vehicle that you have the inside door panel pictured on your page? Were there no switches? It was just like naked.
Oh, yes. That's what I would guess.
Because it's like a handle and that's it.
Yeah, it's interesting how little the very clean interior. And this is inspired largely by Tesla, where everything is pushed into the touchscreen.
Yeah.
And I think younger buyers like this look. And if you're an Apple like CarPlay user or an Android Auto user, this works for you well because you're voice commanding most of that stuff anyway.
I just had an exciting experience tonight with 8-year-old Joseph. We bought a soda with Apple Pay. He held his phone up to the machine and it put out a bottle of pop. I was like, whoa, I felt like I was 100 years old.
And that's one of a couple things we've experienced over the past week that really underscores you're absolutely right in your description of this, Tom. It is for a generation, a younger generation that is really used to.
So comfortable.
And it's like brushing their teeth. Dealing with all this stuff.
It just comes natural to them. Because he said, Gigi, don't worry. I have money. Do you want to? And he showed me he had like $8 or $38 or something. And I was like, oh, I'm very skeptical. This won't work, you know.
But I've mentioned before, and I will mention briefly again, my biggest problem with menus and not having dials are I don't want to be distracted while I'm driving. I want to keep my eyes on the road, reach my hand over to the right, and I know where the knob is, and I'm turning the volume up or down or doing whatever I need to do. I want controls that you have to reach over and not take your eyes off the road.
Now, I am pretty comfortable, to your point, Steve, I am pretty comfortable with the behind-the-steering-wheel controls. And General Motors has this in most of their products, and Stellantis does too in their U.S. products, where on the right-hand side, behind the wheel, there's a toggle, and up is louder and down is quieter. And the other side, I'm sorry, that's the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, you can advance through songs, like if you're listening to music on random.
That's good.
Which I do all the time. You can advance through those. So it works pretty well. It's just weird not to have an actual volume control.
Yeah, yeah. But the reality is some people can't multitask. We were held up behind a car on the expressway tonight, and he was driving about 30 miles an hour. And when we finally got around him, he had his phone up to his face, and he was an intense conversation that took him away from.
And you could tell he just was not paying attention.
No.
He was slowing down traffic.
Yeah.
And he was about to cause an accident because he really was paying attention to what was going on his phone and no attention to what he was about to plow into in front of him.
Or
this is frustrating too, because most vehicles now have full Bluetooth connectivity.
Yes.
And you can have that conversation on the car's audio system. You don't need to hold the phone to your face.
And Tom, he was in a car that was probably a 2020, 2023. I mean, it was a new sport utility vehicle.
That's one of the features that we have used regularly on our Genesis. If Johnny calls me, I don't take my hands off anything. I just hit one little thing on the steering wheel and her voice comes through the radio speaker and we talk and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He may have been stealing the car. Maybe that's why he was in that intense conversation.
Yeah. The blatant plug light has gone off. So consumerguide.com, what should people know about that?
Yeah, consumerguide.com. You can go there, read my car reviews. You can check out the funnier stuff I do if you go to our blog. Plus, you can listen to our podcast right there on the homepage.
Thank you, Tom. We will take a break and stay with us here on WGN.
On that great big holiday, we're gonna have a ball, and that ain't all. I'm gonna chase my blues away. I'll be bringing in a brand new year, bringing in a brand new year. So listen, dear, won't you meet me here while bringing in a brand new year? Gonna
and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's your B.B. King, bringing in a brand new year.
That's a good one.
Love that. We're talking cars for a few more minutes with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And you should go to consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
He's Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky. And we got a few more things we wanted to cover with Tom.
Yeah. Since we are doing the last show of 2024, looking back over the year and the vehicles that you've road tested, we want to know what some of your favorites were, like three, four, or five of your favorites from the year.
One of the big surprises for me was the Land Rover Defender. And people might have seen it on the road. It's very boxy-looking, kind of paramilitary, but it got a new look, and it's entirely redesigned. But the Defender is heritage-wise, lineage-wise, like the car we used to see on National, like Mutual of Omaha's
right.
Wild Kingdom. That was the vehicle that the Defender used to be. But it's among the more affordable vehicle in a Land Rover Range Rover lineup, and it's an absolute delight. It is roomy, it rides well, it handles well, and for a Land Rover Range Rover product, it's relatively affordable. I say relatively because my test car came to $80,000, but great interior, great ride and handling, and surprising fuel economy. This is a mild hybrid inline six, 395 horsepower. The first example I drove got close to 20 miles per gallon. The last one I drove got close to 18, but the weather is colder. And I think I did use the all-wheel drive slightly in some snow. But what an impressive vehicle. Also, other Land Rover, Range Rover products I've driven recently have been glitchy. I had no problems with either of the test vehicles I drove.
Okay, so that's one that you look back over the year and you really liked it.
Really liked it, yeah. I'd love to own one, actually.
Listener says, what do you know about the 2025 Chevy Trax?
The Trax is one of the nicest vehicles to come out of General Motors in years. This is
really?
A subcompact crossover. Yeah, it's such a revelation. It is a small crossover, and it's at the extreme affordable end of the U.S. auto market. They start around $21,500. They go up to about $26,000. All sorts of room inside, nice ride and handling. Not a nice interior exactly, but a tidy, well-crafted interior. There's clearly a lot of plastic in there at this price point. But 30 miles per gallon, there's not a lot here not to like, especially at this price. It does make use of a small three-cylinder engine like the Buick we were talking about earlier. You do hear the engine, unfortunately, but it has enough power.
How many people realistically would it fit?
Four adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, surprisingly roomy. There's five seat belts. You don't want to punish anyone in that middle
seat. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's great that there's a vehicle that's in the $20,000 to $30,000 range.
This is an incredible starter vehicle. If you're a young person, you're looking for a first vehicle, and mm-hmm. you want to buy new, and you'd like that new car warranty, and you'd like good fuel economy, this is the way to go.
That's great.
I'm assuming automatic transmission.
That's all there is, yeah. It's a six-speed auto. Yep.
773 area code says, Tom, you have any thoughts on the pending tariffs and the impact on foreign cars?
Yes. I am 97% sure that though they've been threatened, the next administration will not go through with putting a 25% tariff on vehicles from Canada and from Mexico, because it would absolutely disrupt the industry. And the disruption would be so absolute that it would be hard to buy a car for several months. And I'm thinking this is all bluster and we're going to get around this. And everything I've read and everything I've heard from leaders in the industry is they don't think this is actually going to happen. And God help us if it does, because it's going to be very difficult to buy a vehicle, because General Motors and Ford and Stellantis build vehicles in the U.S. and they build vehicles in Canada and they build them in Mexico and vice versa. And it's a very delicate relationship, and it's worked well for a lot of years. And it would be a shame to see this disrupted.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Canada and Mexico, but what about China? Don't some of the American manufacturers, Ford, General Motors, have vehicles that are sourced from China?
Steve, actually, Ford brings in the Lincoln Nautilus from mm-hmm. China, and that is, of course, unfortunately, currently subject to a pretty high tariff. What is it, 22? I forgot what the tariff is on that, but it's high. And Volvo is being crushed by tariffs. Volvo has it sells two or three vehicles in its own lineup that it imports from China. Plus, there's a division of Volvo not well yet known to Chicagoans, because they're not distributed here very effectively, and that's Polestar. Mm-hmm. And Polestar are very sporty electric vehicles, and those are built in China and meant to be sold here, but unfortunately that's a problem. Oh, it's and the tariff is going to crush those. So Volvo has started building Polestar vehicles at their small factory in South Carolina, and Lincoln will probably move production at some point of the Nautilus to the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Because the predecessor to the Nautilus, wasn't it built at the Ford plant on Torrance?
I think it was, yeah. And that was closely related.
I'm thinking of the Aviator. I'm sorry.
Mm. Yeah, the Ford Edge was built alongside the Nautilus, and those were both built here in the U.S. And the Nautilus has gone out of production, so obviously Lincoln production isn't going to be enough for a whole factory, even a single shift. So they're bringing those in from China right now.
Well, Tom, as always, thank you for your time. It's been wonderful having you on the show twice a month throughout the year.
And it's been an honor. Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And we were talking about New Year's Eves and all the New Year's Eves that you shared with us.
You shared many
of
New Year's
them.
Eve.
Yes.
Yeah.
So two things before you go. A, how can people follow you? And B, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Oh, okay. Well, please check us out at consumerguide.com. The next episode of the Car Stuff podcast, we talked to Damon Bell, who used to be one of our co-hosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's now with cars.com. And they did a three-way pickup truck showdown of luxury pickup trucks. So that's worth hearing. It was a great visit. And then New Year's Eve, I think my daughter and I are still arguing about what movie we're going to watch.
Ooh. Are you going to a theater or at home?
We're going to be at home, and I'm trying to get her to watch The Conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Nosferatu.
Yeah, that is sounding so good.
Oh, man. Some are saying it's one of the best movies of the year.
One of the leads in Nosferatu is also the new Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I have seen the Superman trailer.
Love it.
Who hasn't seen the Superman trailer? It's brilliant. Happy New Year, Tom. Thanks a million.
Happy New Year, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to talk. Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
We're going to talk sports.
Coming up.
In a second.
So go Bears. Go.
It's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. I'll tell you one thing I'm not doing on New Year's Eve. I am not watching a Bears game.
Well.
Last week we were ready to throw things at the screen. We thought we'd seen every way they could possibly lose.
They managed to lose two in 1 week.
Oh.
A little sports between the sheets with Gabe Salgado. And Gabe, I'm right, two games. Unbelievable. They made history, right?
I was here Thursday night.
Oh, you were?
For the aftermath.
Oh.
Camp and OB were already yelling by the time they took the air. It didn't take long.
Yep.
They were quite angry.
I bet that was a sight to behold, too.
I was not surprised at the result of last Sunday's game because I said that would happen, although I did find it interesting that the Bears waited until they were down 20-0 to start scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had hope on Thursday. I actually gave myself a little bit of hope.
Because when it was 6-3 and you thought, well, okay, points. They can do that.
And the defense, you know, the defense, they did their job. The defense did their job. They actually did their job compared to the last few weeks. But, you know, there was the touchdown pass to Roman Duse that got called back because of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that dreadful final drive where the Bears could have. I mean, I'm not saying Cairo Santos would have made it, although he's a pretty accurate kicker. He would have had a good chance of making it. 57-yard field goal within his range. It's long range for him, but you still could have tried and at least played for overtime, at least make, you know, some effort to try and win the game. But instead, they went for it. They were thinking if they get the first down, they call their last timeout. But you know, because the offensive line can't protect Caleb Williams and certainly didn't do a good job of that Thursday. Yeah.
That was a little scary, too, because he seemed so vulnerable out there.
I am now in the camp with those who are saying, just forfeit the next game. Don't endanger Williams anymore. Just forfeit the next game, clean house, and do something next year.
As much as I would like to say, you know, the whole team should just say, hey, we have the flu, we can't play, that probably won't happen. But
I
would be a fan, though, of just letting the backups play this game. I mean,
yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, Green Bay is pretty much in the playoffs. It's just a matter of how, you know, they're playing to try at least get a shot at winning the division crown.
Mm-hmm.
I got to look at the mathematics of that because, you know, the Lions, Vikings, and Packers are all pretty close in the standings. I think only like a game separates them, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, honestly, like I said, you don't want Caleb to get hurt, and you want to see what else you have with this team. Let the young guys play. They're not going to win. Like I said weeks ago, you know, like after the first two games of Thomas Brown's tenure as interim head coach, I said they're not going to win a game for the rest of the season. I stand by that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if somehow, some way, they pull off the upset of Green Bay next week, and Green Bay's still going to the playoffs. It's not going to hurt them much.
Right.
So, but, you know, so I wouldn't be against, you know, playing the backups just to prevent the, you know, guys from getting hurt,
But, you know, I am tempted, and I'm not a betting man, but I am tempted to find out how you bet on the Las Vegas line and put like $100 on the Bears to win. Because if they pull it off, oh boy, I would imagine that 100 would multiply many times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the line is.
Well,
but
I have a friend that's in a pool, and if the Bears win, he stands to win $2,250.
Tell him not to get his hopes up.
I know. He's already said that. Yeah. Didn't Caleb catch some flack for his response to Thursday's performance? That he, and I remember seeing him and thinking, wow, that was a bunch of words. He kind of sort of admitted that they didn't do real well. In fact, I've got it right here. He said, sometimes you don't do so well on the job. Some days you're pretty consistent. Really?
Well,
I mean, at this point, he's probably run out of things to say.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
every one of them.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounded like something they said on Thursday night. But you know, here's the thing. At this point, the whole team has probably run out of things to say. I mean, what more can you say? They just continue to fall further and further down. And, you know, throughout the week, you know, whether it's the media appearances at Hallis Hall, whether it's the various, you know, interviews on the other, you know, radio and TV and written outlets in this town. You know, I see the look on their faces when they're doing these interviews, and they're just tired of answering the same questions over and over again.
As surprised as I was to see the number of Bears players who said, in essence, we weren't sure what was going on.
Yeah.
That was weird. I think we were watching Channel 2's sports the other night, and they went from one interview to another, and they all basically, in different words, we weren't sure what was...
Yeah.
What?
You want to know what we are, folks? We're the dumbest football team in this league.
Oh, wow.
The dumbest.
Yep.
Wow. You know, what OB just said, that title belonged to the Raiders at one point.
Okay, so there's hope, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, obviously all signs point to the Bears cleaning house, and, you know, that's, you know, that, you know, we got to be patient with it. Of course, I know we've been patient for, you know, ever since Levy Smith got fired, and
I'm tired of being patient.
Yeah.
The only good thing about this is now there is a team that has a worse reputation in Chicago than the Sox.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, if going into the Packers game, if they lose, is that 11 straight that they've lost? Or are they going into it with 11 under
the belt? No, they've lost 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this would be, this is, I mean, like I said, this is about, it doesn't get any worse than this. I mean,
on your backsides for that one.
Other than losing every game of the season, I mean, this is pretty dismal. I mean,
and that 6-3 made history because they've never scored that low and still lost the game. I heard this crazy. Kevin Powell was on a WGN TV News on Friday morning, and I caught him for the first time, and he did great. He looks great on the news.
Yeah.
He looked very comfortable. But he was talking about something about how they'd made history because of that low score. They'd never lost a game when the score was so close. And so low.
I'd like to think we can only go up from here when the season comes.
Yeah.
You are so right.
I mean, but here's what I mean. I kind of figured, even though at the beginning of the season, I kind of figured the Bears are going to have some rough patches, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. You know, and remember, we were trying to temper down expectations at the beginning of this season when everybody was talking about playoffs and this and that. And I'm like, let's pump the brakes on it. But I did not think it was going to be this bad. I'll be honest. I surprised myself in this one.
Are you going to go out on a limb and give us a score?
Well, as the super fans would say, Ditka's not driving the bus this time. So I'm going to go Packers 30, Bears 10.
Mm.
And that's just being generous because honestly, I could see them being held scoreless at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just unfortunate. And, you know, hopefully, mercifully, the season comes to an end and we get through a painstaking offseason and try to take our minds off of it. And
yeah.
Although it's going to be hard because the Bulls haven't been great. The Blackhawks are still rebuilding. And, you know, college sports is college sports. So unless you went to the school, you're probably not watching college sports. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a rough offseason. And then, you know, hopefully baseball will brighten our spirits up. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then that's a big hopefully. That's a big if, by the way.
Unless the Sox start drafting from the Bears.
Oh Lord! but you know what? I'm not very hopeful for the Cubs either because I'm just like, what are you doing with this roster?
Yeah, there's so much to talk about in coming weeks, Gabe. Gabe Sagato with a little sports between the sheets.
We should mention that next week, our first show of 2025. Oh, that reminds me. If you still write checks, remember to start putting 2025 on them.
And people are saying, who writes checks? I do. I get a great deal of satisfaction out of writing a check.
My brother writes checks. He loves it. Part of it is he just loves the tactile experience
of
doing that.
Yeah, I really do. I love just feeling like it's complete when I put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it.
I'll never forget when my nieces, now they were still practically babies at this time, but still, what's a check? Now they know, but you know, to them it's all about direct deposit and debit cards.
Sure.
So, but you do have that portion of the population who probably doesn't know what a check is.
Like with Joseph at 8 years old tonight, it's Apple Pay. He just holds up his phone and just shines it and it pays magically.
My wife has a feature on her phone where her debit card just pops up and she pays that way. I don't know if it's necessarily Apple Pay, but some feature that she has that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I still reach for my debit card or cash if need be.
I'm right there with you.
By the way, I know we got to get to the news, but real quick, speaking of your wife, how did she react to the idea of redoing your living room in
black and white?
She thought I was crazy, as I thought she would.
Okay.
But she seemed a little more open to ideas. She was actually happy for the fact that I came up with an idea instead of just normally being like, "Do we really have to pay for the living room?" So she's glad that I made the effort to give her an idea. It's a work in progress.
That's good.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Put on your news hat. We will take a break for a news update, and then we're into the final stretch of our last show for 2024 on WGN.
Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
Such a happy happy 4 hours and 37 minutes. That is one sad song. And they trot it out every New Year's Eve. They, I say. My husband trots it out every New Year's Eve.
I was not going to play it.
Oh, I love Dan Fogelberg, though. I love him so much. And I'm sorry he's gone. Maybe that's why it makes me super sad. No, listening to the lyrics make me super sad, too. You were listening to it for the first time, Julian?
First time I've ever heard it.
Well, let me tell you, on your way home tonight, listen to the whole dang thing.
I'm reading the lyrics right now, and it just gets sadder and sadder.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. What you heard was the high point.
Yes. They meet, and she recognizes him, and then it goes downhill from there.
I don't want to listen to this song.
What's the last verse? Read the last verse to us.
Last verse. She gave a kiss to me as I got out, and I watched her drive away. Just for a moment, I was back at school and felt that old, familiar pain, and as I turned to make my way back home, the snow turned into rain.
See? Even the snow, you got depressed.
You know, there's a lot of similarity between that and Harry Chapin's... Taxi or the follow-up to Taxi?
Well, Taxi's pretty sad, too.
Yeah.
But you go into that knowing it.
Yeah.
But this, you're thinking, New Year's Eve, woohoo, hats and noisemail. Oh, no.
Okay, Julian, we need to get our spirits out of the dumpster. What is your favorite New Year's song?
Oh, that is a loaded question.
That New Year's funk was pretty good.
The Funky New Year? I think that's a contender for top favorite. I like U2's.
Hmm.
New Year's Day. It's very uplifting.
Okay. Go ahead. A little, that's on our list.
Here is you two with New Year's Day.
Wait a minute. This is depressing me, too, for some reason. His voice is... The way he's...
I was just thinking...
That's depressing me.
For some reason, something about the riff in this made me think, I wish someone would take the Beatles' birthday song and do a New Year's twist on that.
Oh, that would be good.
They say it's a new year. Da, 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 da. Happy New Year to you. Da,
da, da, da. Work on that. You've got a year.
Okay.
Get that done, okay?
This time next year.
Okay.
I will do that.
My favorite text tonight. I apologize. The night got away from... We did not get to your shout out to Lone Tree, Colorado and Albuquerque, New Mexico and all these other places. But my favorite text so far was, Kitty knows your theme song. She taps me in the head when she hears it and it's time.
You're kidding.
I love that.
Who is that from?
224 area code.
What is a 224 area code?
But her kitty hears our theme song and taps her in the head.
Talk about a cool...
The peanut gallery.
Talk about a cool cat.
Yes, yes. Okay, before we run out of time, I have to tell you people to prepare for a good 2025. You need to be eating.
Try to.
Well, I'm giving you some hopefully some ammunition so that you can. It's kind of like putting on your armor for the new year. All right.
Yeah.
You need to eat round food. You need to eat round food on New Year's.
Round food, so you become more round.
No.
Round
food is for good luck. Don't give me that look. please.
Round food.
Well, yeah.
So eat lots of watermelons and apples and pizzas.
And pizzas and bundt cakes, things like that. That's okay. What you need. You need to eat long food.
A hot dog is long and round.
Okay, hot dog. As I said earlier, you need to eat greens, like collard greens, because they're symbolic of money.
Okay.
You need to have black-eyed peas, because black-eyed peas are symbolic of coinage. So, actually, perfect world, you'd eat 365 black-eyed peas. But who wants to sit around counting them? You need to eat pork and not chicken, because pigs root forward and chickens scratch backwards. You want to go forward into the new year. Cornbread is a good food to have because it's gold.
Especially the way you make it.
Oh, thank you.
Johnny makes the best cornbread.
I was just salivating. Fish, if you could have whole fish, it symbolizes luck and abundance because fish swim forward. See?
Or a puffer fish because they're round.
So you have a puffer fish. Sauerkraut is a good food because it symbolizes a long life. It's also good for your digestion. let's see. Grapes, I mentioned earlier that in some...
and they're round.
Some Latin cultures, they believe in eating 12 grapes at the stroke of midnight for good luck. And in fact, if you go to the grocery store...
Now, what kind of grapes?
Just any kind of grapes. On New Year's Eve, you'll be surprised at the crowd that will be around the grapes, because a lot of people buy into that. Champagne symbolizes a prosperity. Honey symbolizes a sweet year to come. If you can go for Chinese food, Chinese dumplings are ideal because they symbolize pockets of prosperity. I've never looked at a dumpling as a pocket of prosperity. But I'm starving now, so we're going home to some homemade chicken noodle soup.
And it's wonderful.
We're going to get that chicken out of the way, and then we're going to transition to all the foods that move forward.
Oh, by the way, we should remind you, next week, do we have a full show next week?
Yes, we do.
Yes, I believe we do. And it will be very close to our, since it will be on the 4th of January, very close to our two-year anniversary, because we started doing our version 2.0 of our show on January 7th. But next week, full show, first show of 2025. And we're going to have an old friend of ours, Charlie Meyerson, is going to be on the show with us.
Former news director at WGN. Yeah.
And Charlie has a terrific website, ChicagoPublicSquare.com. We'll talk about that and more things. If all goes well, we'll talk with Jessica Radloff, the Glamour senior West Coast editor and New York Times bestselling author of The Big Bang Theory, The Definitive Inside Story. We'll talk with her about a Golden Globes preview and a few more show-busy things.
Because the Globes are on the 5th, the same day as the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Another reason to tune into the Golden Globes. And Patrick Crispin will join us. And sadly, we'll probably have more hacking news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But right now, the blue light is starting to flash, and I'm hearing, am I hearing the Zamboni in the background?
Who is that on the Zamboni? Is that Cannon?
No!
She always wanted to drive the Zamboni.
Fogelberg and Cannon on the same half hour?
So, boys and girls, if you would like to be our last caller, the last call
of 2024,
312-981-7200. That number again, 312-981-7200. And I think tonight we're going, for the last call of 2024, we're going to insist you have something pithy to say.
Yes.
We've put up with the non-pithiness all year long. Tonight, we want some pithiness.
We want some pith.
That's right. Some pithiness.
I require pith. I will be answering the phones. I require pith. Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
And again, that's P-I-T-H.
So 312-981-7200. Only if you have something pithy to say.
And if
you have not won anything from this here radio place within the past 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first. So pithy calls, the pithy line is now open.
You better be careful.
Okay, we'll take a break and get back with our pithy calls.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's time to go home.
It sure is.
Yep.
Yep.
Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Can't stay here. And no, we are not going to play all of that. That's Red Peters, the closing song. You can look the rest of it up on YouTube. We love it, but we ain't going to play it.
Unless you hear the entire song being played, then that's going to tell you that we ain't coming back the next week. Okay, so that's just a little inside info.
But I will tell you, that's it. We're not doing any more shows this year.
No more.
No, that's it.
I don't care what they say. No. We have a bunch of people on the line at 312-981-7200.
But we only want to take a pithy caller for our last call.
And we understand.
Of 2024.
That Miss Jan may have some pith to share with us. Hi, Jan.
Jan, do you have some pith to share with us?
Well, Happy New Year from a laboratory.
Oh, good.
Down
it's
in
you.
The laboratory.
In the laboratory every Saturday night, right?
Well, not last Saturday. I was in Isla Morada last Saturday.
You were where?
In Florida, Isla Ramada.
I've never heard of it.
I haven't either.
Where is it?
It's past the Keys. It's in the Keys.
Wow.
So you're out in the ocean. Lovely.
That's a fur piece. Yeah.
It was a bit, but it was wonderful.
I bet. Did you fly? Where did you fly into?
Miami.
Miami? And then that sounds like it's a good drive from Miami to get to.
It was a good 2 hours. Plus, there were three wrecks on the way to get there.
Oh dear.
Yikes. It's past Key Largo.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Now you put the song Key Largo in my head.
Which is a good song, yes. And a good movie, too, in fact.
But, you know, if you go to Miami, sometime I would love to take the train, the new train that now goes from Chicago down to Miami. I think that would be fun.
Oh, my gosh. It'd take you 2 days, though, at least 2 days.
I think
that'd be fun.
I think it's 3 days. And,
yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
It costs a lot of money to get a sleeper car, too.
Yeah. That's not my idea of fun.
No. My idea, if I'm going to take a train, I'm going to go to Canada, and I'm going to go across the whole country on the train.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Through the beautiful mountains and, so you are back to your usual grind on a Saturday night after a little vacation?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yep. What do you have planned for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day?
Not a whole lot of nothing. Just going to Mass in the morning, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to eat any round food, any long food, any whole fish, any pork? I mean, what's on your menu?
Probably some rice with something, but otherwise that's about it.
Well, actually, rice is one of the foods that's considered a good luck food because the individual pieces of rice are symbolic of all kinds of good things, so that's not a bad place to start.
Right, but, that's exactly right.
Do you have any superstitions? Because, again, I'm here to tell you that Southerners can be rather superstitious when it comes to things. Like, you're never supposed to do laundry on New Year's Day because you'll wash someone out of your family. That's heavy.
I haven't had any superstitions other than when they announced Kathy and Judy were leaving the air, I was in a wreck. And it was on a Friday. It was like somebody hit me. It's like, oh, this is not a good day.
Well, that's not a superstition. That's life. I mean,
that's exactly it.
And that really smarted. It smarted us, too.
By the way, We just saw Kathy a couple weeks ago.
We did, yes.
Sadly, it was at Dan Fabian's funeral, but we caught up with Kathy, and she's alive and well, and
she looks
having
great.
A lot of fun. She looks terrific.
And on Facebook, she just put up a picture. She went out to dinner with her old crew.
Yeah.
That would be Steve Bertrand and Beth. And a couple other people, and they had Judy on the phone at the restaurant, mm-hmm. Zooming with them, and yeah, it was really sweet. She said everybody should be so lucky to work with people that become family, yeah. And I think that came through loud and clear on the air, too.
That's excellent. I miss those two a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
I miss a lot of the old people a bunch, but that's how it is.
Well, I'm glad that we can remind you of the old and take you into the new.
Yes, you're reminding of the old. Yes, yes.
Do we have a car? Do we have a car picking us up a little bit to take us home?
Yes.
We should bargain for that. We're old. We need a car to drive us home.
We're not old.
Well,
we're seasoned.
We're seasoned.
I understand.
Just
yes.
Like a fine bottle of wine.
That's right. Now, are you going to have a snack? Because we are talking all the way home about what we're going to eat when we get home. Do you have a snack in the middle of the night?
Usually it's around 3 o'clock in the morning. Between 3 and 4 o'clock is when I have lunch.
Okay.
What are you planning for lunch?
I have some chicken McNuggets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's about it. It's a root beer.
Okay. That's good. You're eating like a six-year-old. McNuggets and a root beer.
That's exactly right.
Well, what thought, you're our last caller of the year, what thought would you like to leave us with?
Well, just keep the faith and keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
With this new political regime coming in, it's like we all got to just stay strong.
And Jan, that's why, yep. I said, eat round foods, eat collard greens, eat black-eyed peas,
get strong.
Eat them all. Anything that's going to bring us good luck into the new year. Well, happy
right.
New Year, and thank you so much for tuning in on Saturday night. It's always nice to know that you're out there.
Hang on for a couple of seconds, Jan, and Julian will get all of your personal information
yes.
off the air. Well, that kind of wraps it for 2024.
Yeah. And if I may repeat, do not do laundry on New Year's Day. You can't wash out public figures out of your life, but you can wash out a member of your family if you do laundry on New Year's Day. At least that's what my grandma always said.
We never mentioned any of the new laws that are going
into
effect.
We'll have to get to that next week with Charlie Meyerson, news dude that he mm-hmm. is. We'll talk about the new laws. We'll talk about some of the biggest stories from the past year. But what are we doing on New Year's Eve? Oh, we have the California kids here.
So we'll probably be watching Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
With Ryan Seacrest, yes. This reminds me that we always had a superstition, or maybe just a tradition, that whatever you did...
Yep.
On New Year's Eve,
you would
New
be
Year's
doing
Day.
For the rest of the year. That's one of the reasons that we worked New Year's Eve into New Year's Day.
And we joked every year it worked for 27 years that we did a New Year's Eve show. They always had us come back for the next year.
So, Julian, you are working on New Year's Day?
That is correct. I'll be working New Year's Day morning with Mr. John Hansen.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Well, he's a lively, wide-awake kind of guy at that hour of the day.
So on New Year's Eve, you'll be going to bed early?
For part of it. I'll probably sleep a little during the day, and then I might see a lovely friend and ring in the new year with her.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Maybe take some pictures. That way I can be taking pictures in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that works, because then that would set the tone for your taking pictures throughout the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. See, I think that's a tradition we should all hang on to.
Yeah.
Do something really positive on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Be with people that you care about, that you
yeah.
want to be with.
Yep.
You know, unlike that Christmas dinner where that crazy old uncle had to come to dinner, you don't have to do that on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Be selective. Be with people that bring you joy.
Eat some grapes.
Eat a lot of grapes. Eat 365 black-eyed peas.
But just a tip. Be off the roads by
yes.
about 3 or 4 in the morning, because
yes.
Johnny is a waitress, and me back from the days when I was in bands, I don't want to be in the roads at 3 or 4 in the morning
yeah.
on New Year's Day with all the drunks.
Yep, Absolutely. That's and in fact, when we did the all-night show, we would linger around here until the sun came up because it was just too scary. Yeah. So be safe, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us every Saturday night. We do appreciate it.
And our thanks to Adam Phillips.
Yep.
For hanging out with us tonight.
For Ron and Gabe in the newsroom, and for Julian on the other side of the glass. Thank you all. You're a great team. It's wonderful to work with you, and we'll be back with you next year.